Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight. Welcome. It's a good time to be alive. That's for sure. All right. So, all right. We are going to be ministering to everybody tonight. On the night that we prophesy and minister. I'm a minister and I'm ministering over everybody tonight. So really good to have you guys, and hopefully all is well. We are glad to be here. Thank you for being a part of PGN, and we are working on all kinds of things. So PGN has now officially become a church. We have got all the paperwork together and, you know, working on the bylaws a little bit more and got all that going on. And so we are glad about that, getting ready to do our investment situation. It took a little bit more than we thought. We had to reroute it a little bit different way than we thought. So it's happening. It's all come together. We're so thankful for that. Yes, we are, for all the legal help and everything God does to get us there. Such a unique thing. People were saying, you know, how are you going to do this thing? Well, we now know. So we're very thankful. And very grateful that I'm going to have the full answers for sure on a particular part of it tomorrow. We are now, PGN is officially PGN Church. So we will be opening up an account for that and probably change all the giving to that. I'll let you know about all that. They'll make it really easy method. We'll work through the information to you. Nothing big, nothing major. It's just basic stuff, but we have to let you know about it and let you know what's going on so we can be prepared for everything that we're going to be doing and working on. So, wow, if I'd have known it's going to take this much, I'd have started doing it a long time ago, I guess. Maybe. But it's working. It's absolutely happening. It's just really amazing. And I'm very, very grateful to God for He's feeding us what we need. And timing is a really big thing to me. And sometimes, you know, if I see a timing thing going on, I start examining myself. You know, I talked the other night about how we can hinder God, and Satan uses, you know, things in our life or, you know, whatever to cause us to interfere with what God's trying to do in our life and delay it, and the enemy uses it to blame, get us to blame God. I mean, how many have ever done that before? I've done that. And you blame God for things that, you know, really God has nothing to do with or is hindering it. It's just things in our life. And so that, how I came up with that, how I got that message was because, you know, I'm asking God, what about the timing of this? You know, what's going on with all this stuff? And, you know, let's get things rolling. Like I'm telling God, let's get things rolling. So the first thing I do is I start, you know, examining myself, blame myself, basically. So I start going through the process of, okay, how do I get through this? What am I doing wrong? You know, what am I doing? I always think about what I'm doing. Because if yourself is in the way from God moving, then, you know, the only person that can fix that, you, right? You and God. And so, that's how I came up with that. That's how I got the message was, you know, through my own seeking God and asking God to show me, you know, how do I, you know, if I'm messing up something, what am I doing? So I think if we become teachable and learn how to, you know, not be afraid to ask God, am I messing up something? You know, hey, is it me? Because if it's you, it's a lot easier than it's somebody else, right? Yeah. If it's you, you can just go, okay, let's get on with this thing. Show me what it is. let's move forward. And so then you can get it right with God, whatever. It may not necessarily be some horrible sin. Sometimes we think it's some horrible sin. Sometimes, like when we talked the other night about Samson, with Samson, the only thing God really asked him not to do, basically there's a couple of things, but the main thing was don't cut your hair, right? I mean, that wasn't some, like, you know, don't murder somebody. I'm sure that was, you know, he knew better than that. But the key to that was basically the Nazarite vow and the fact that he cut his hair. When Delilah found out what took care of that, she cut his hair, and that was it for him. And it was devastating. But it wasn't like, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery or, you know, murder somebody or have an abortion or something, you know, whatever the thing would be. It wasn't like that. It was like, don't cut your hair. So it gets you to thinking about, you know, what could I be doing? Because we always look to some horrible sin, you know, and something that's just we know is wrong, and we know that, you know, I mean, like you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, those basic things, you know, we know if we're breaking some of those, we're going to be in trouble, right? But you can get forgiven really quick. That's what's so amazing. Yeah, and so anyway, that's how I got that message, and I was examining myself. And so I went through, you know, different scriptures, and God started showing me stuff, and, you know. But here's a really cool thing for me right now. I'm extremely excited because I feel like something is breaking loose. And even though we're breaking loose on PGN stuff and the legal side and getting the PGN family investment thing going on, all that's coming along, you know, good now. Never ever really had any problems. It's just a matter of finding out the legal way to do it, you know. So we found that out, basically, and now forming it and shaping it, that kind of thing. You know, I was a little bit bothered by that. It was taking so long, you know, one thing then the other. But it just, you know, when you're doing something that nobody's ever done before, and every legal person has told us, every church legal person, anybody said, there's never been anything done like that before. And that's them saying it, not me. I didn't have a clue. So it's really cool. So I guess when you're pioneering things, sometimes you run across little battles, not because you've done something wrong so much as, you know, you're doing something brand new. It's a brand new thing. And, you know, so there you go. So the excitement that I have right now, I can explain it, except I feel like something broke loose. Something broke in the heavens or something. I honest to God, I have to say, as a prophet, I should be more specific maybe, but I don't know exactly what it is, but something has broken loose. And so, so I'm really, really excited. Don't know exactly where it's going. What I know, I'll tell you. You'll be the first ones to find out right here on PGN. You'll be the first ones to find out because I share everything with you guys, you know, that God allows me to. There's some things that are can't share, but, you know, 90%, 98%, 95% maybe, that's what you get. And so, so there you go. So pray for me as I endeavor to, you know, believe God to open up for the body of Christ, because what God's doing right now is he's forgiving the sin of greed and of lust, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust after money and for the ministry, mainly for the ministry, not necessarily for the body of Christ, but for the ministries. And when the ministries get messed up, I don't want to talk about Samson, right? But Samson, you know, it's not that Samson was a priest or anything, but he was like a, what would he call him, a hero? you know, a hero. I don't know. He was just a powerful hero of God and a prophet, I guess, maybe. I'm not sure. I can't remember what he was called. I don't think he was called anything. Yeah, it's just Samson, right? And I've just never tried to put those words together before. But whatever he was, it was called of God. It was blessed of God. And, you know, when he, like you said, when he cut his hair, the thing that he was called to do just stopped happening. And when what you're called to do affects the body of Christ and you got the favor of God going with you, like Samson did and like David did and like Moses did and like others, and you get that favor, once you mess that up, it's not that God doesn't forgive you. It's not that God doesn't love you and, you know, you can have fellowship with him and all that. It's that your purpose gets messed up. And so that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to do that, right? We don't want to get God's favor. Now, I'm not saying that the favor I'm talking about is public favor. I don't know anybody. I don't know too many people other than what you see on TV and radio. Some of those people have public favor. I don't even consider myself to have public favor necessarily to a certain degree. But and yet I know I have favor. I have supernatural favor with God. I know that, just like, you know, other people do. But there's this thing going on where we're entering into a place of the favor of God. And that favor is going to be like we've never seen before. And favor will manifest itself in many different ways. You see with all the different prophets, all the different preachers, all the different ministers over the years and in the Bible that the grace God gave them, like Paul was given the grace to, to be an apostle to the Gentiles and take the gospel to the Gentiles. That was his calling. He was anointed for that, right? If he had tried to take it to the Jews, he might have been crucified, you know, because they weren't ready for that yet, and it wasn't his calling. Other people were called to the Jews, and they didn't get crucified. Why? Because they were called of God. The Gentiles didn't crucify him because, you know, he was, you know, called of God to go to the Gentiles. So whatever you're called to do, you know, once you walk into that favor realm where you have public favor, that's a whole different thing than, you know, your little bit of favor you got here and there about getting grace, God to bring some money in to pay your bills. I'm not talking about that level. I'm talking about the level that David had, the level that Moses had. That's the level that I'm talking about, where you are open to, you know, you are known around the globe, basically. And God has given you that favor. You didn't get it on your own. You didn't really do it. God gives it to you. And so I don't know exactly what level it would be that once you openly shame him, but it's not just the lower levels of it, you know. I mean, you learn through all the lower levels of things. You learn through all those things. And then when God raises you up and you find yourself in favor, like Moses killed somebody, right? Well, he had to leave Egypt because he killed somebody. So that might have messed him up because he definitely had favor in Egypt. You know, he was, you know, he had favor with even some of the Jews at that time, the Israelites. And yet he killed somebody. But God didn't take his favor away from him because that wasn't really, you see what I'm saying? The process of him going into the wilderness, and then when God sent him to go back to Egypt and the favor of God came on him with signs, wonders, and miracles to deliver a nation, you see what I'm saying? That favor right there is the favor. You don't want to mess with any God's favor, but you sure don't want to mess with that favor. And Moses eventually messed with that favor by striking the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and God said, you know, because you didn't sanctify me in front of the people. Isn't that amazing? And you didn't do it in front of the people. You didn't sanctify me in front of the people. And because of that, you're out. So it kind of tells you how God feels about things and how the sword came to David's house because the prophet Nathan, who loved David, you know, he was his prophet. He was his own prophet. And he told David, yeah, you're going to build a temple. And then he went home that night, and Nathan heard from God, and God said, well, he's not going to build it. He had to go back and tell him. You know, so he loved David. He thought David was a great man of God. It wasn't like he was against him. But when David sinned, your prophet, if you're in a position like that of leadership and you have a prophet that, you know, you're friends with and you know, and they hear from God for you and whatever level you have it, he came to him and he said, David, you know, there's a man who was rich and he went and took the sheep from a poor man, one of those sheep. And what should we do about that? And David said, let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. And Nathan, who loved David, said, it's you, sir. It's you, king. You've done this. And then Nathan gave him the pronounced upon him what was going to happen to him. And that was that, you know, the sword would never leave his house. Never. And it never did while he was alive. So, you know, and then you can go on and on. Like, you know, what happened with Samson, and there's others in the Bible too. So those are therefore an example for us to go, God, you know, yeah, if I'm going to be killing somebody before I get my favor, you know, like trying to, you know, work my ministry and I accidentally kill somebody or whatever, you know, I don't want to lose. Let me get all that stuff done before I get that. So you want to walk in holiness and walk in righteousness with God. But, you know, as we talked about the other night, that to walk the straight and narrow isn't really about how, you know, quote, holy you are according to religion, but it's about how you walk with God. And when you obey God and do what God says, you know, just like we talked about Samson. Samson's a really good example. You know, all God says, hey, just, you know, don't break that Nazarite vow. Don't cut your hair. And he did that one thing, man. He did the only thing that kept the power of God upon it. And it was really sad, really, really sad. And so, you know, that was a great example of how that, you know, God still restored him to a certain degree, but he never walked in his purpose. His purpose was thwarted. It was stopped. He did one last feat, and that was it. And, you know, I could talk about the other night, he could have done a lot more than, you know, had he, you know, not had his eyes poked out and you know, been put in bondage by his enemies and shamed God, because he shamed God. He shamed God in front of the people because he had public, he had well-known, he was fighting for the armies. He was like fighting for, not fighting for the armies of God. He wasn't the army of God. Hey, there you go. I'm just kind of spitting this stuff out, right? So y'all, you know, he was the army of God. He took the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 people. I mean, you know, what? That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. He killed 1,000 people. He was the army of God. I've never thought about that before. That was brand new. Yeah. So, and then yet, because he shamed God before Israel, like all of Israel knew who he was. All of Israel knew, and they all knew he had the favor of God. They all agreed that he had the favor of God. There wasn't much debate about that because it was obvious. And so when you start walking in that realm and you blow it, it's just not good. It's really, really scary. So we talk about that stuff so that you, as God raises you up, you're going to really be careful and watch out and not get drunk with your own success that God gives you. With the grace that God gives you, I think you can get drunk on the grace of God, I guess, because sometimes grace seems to be a thing where people think they can get by with whatever they want to do, and because God's favoring them, you know, that, you know, nothing will happen to them. They can do whatever they want. Every man of God found out that they couldn't do that, right? So it was devastating to God's name and to his people that he gave favor, and then they lost that. All right. So there you go. All right, so I don't mind talking about that again tonight, but, you know, God wants us to be careful and to watch out so that we can, like with me, you want to pray for me because the favor God has given me in the market realm is not for me, right? It's like with Samson. That really wasn't for him. It made him look good, but it was for the people of God. He was destroying God's enemies. So the enemies would know that, hey, I got somebody on my side over here. If you mess with me, I'll send Samson after you. And when he takes hold of you, you're going to be dead. You're not going to last long. Right? And so, yeah. So it's truly amazing how, that you know, when God gives you something that's for his people, Moses was given the authority from God to deliver Israel out of Egypt. What was that for? It was for the people of God. It was for God's people. And then when he shamed God in front of the people by you know, that didn't seem like that big of a deal to me. I mean, honest to God. So something must have been going on that, you know, what's wrong? Okay, so he struck the rock. What's the big deal? But somehow or another, with God, it was a big, big no-no, a really big no-no, because it said you shamed me before the people. You didn't sanctify me before the people, which shows you how God looks at what we do before the people, right? And the straight and narrow path that we talked about earlier, walking in the straight and narrow, is like Samson, you know, all he did is just not cut his hair. It was straight and narrow for him. Well, he did that, you know, I don't know what else he messed up on, but, you know, the thing is, when you start messing up on other things that don't do with your, have nothing to do with your vow before God, when you start doing other things, that usually leads you to a compromise. Like maybe he started, you know, doing a little this and a little that that he knew better than to do. Hanging out with Delilah was one of them. Wanting a Canaanite wife or, you know, the enemies of Israel wanted a wife from one of their camp, one of their people, one of their tribe. And so, you know, that wasn't necessarily what God said don't do, but he knew better. And he started, you know, and because he was playing with that and playing, eventually they opened him up for that compromise. So it's not the big thing that knocks you out. It's the thing, all the little things that open you up to the big thing that finally hits you. And you think, well, I would have never done that 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I would have never done that 10 years ago. And now I did it. How did I do that? And that's why we need to hear from people who do the big thing and lose God's favor. What did you do? How? So I'm telling you tonight, it was all the little things Samson was getting by with because he hadn't cut his hair yet that led to him saying, oh, you know, a little compromise here, compromise there, compromise, compromise on a lot of things he knew better than to do, but wasn't necessarily the thing that took his power away from him. That all those little things, like I said, led him to a place of compromising with a big thing that he would have never had done. So even though the little things don't take you out with God's favor, it's the little things that lead to the place, the little foxes that spoil the vine, that end up leading to a place where you do things that you have never done and you find yourself without the favor of God. And you go, how in the world did I do that? Well, that's what Samson did. So, and we could talk about Moses. Moses, the same thing. You know, he was basically, you know, getting angry. He had a lot of anger. I think I would have had a lot of anger, too, if I was dealing with what he was dealing with. I'm not sure I'm going to say that I would be doing, but I would have lasted as long as he did. Oh, my gosh, that guy had a lot going on, dealing with people that were a lot more stubborn than he was. And so his anger built up to the point where that's why you see it when he struck the rock, right? That what was that manifestation? What revealed the fact that what was messing with him that caused him to do the thing, all the little things he was doing that didn't seem like that big of a deal? You know, he had anger issues a long time, right? But maybe because he wasn't able to deal with it properly, that you see that was the very thing that took him out. He got angry and did something different within what God said. He struck the rock instead of speaking to it. God clearly told him, speak to the rock, and he knew. There was no question, did I hear from God or did I not hear from God? If you got a thing going on where you're not sure you heard from God, don't worry about it, man. You're not sure you heard from God, just keep going until you hear from God about it, right? So it's those things that you know that you've heard from God, and you're not doing that. And when you mess up on that, then you really mess up. Yeah. So think about that, all right? And I'm thinking about it. I know he's always dealing with me about it. I think he's opens up my eyes about things, and then I come share it with you guys. Really, literally, that's how this all happened. He speaks to me about it, and then I come and talk to you guys about it. And it's stuff he's teaching me, stuff he's revealing to me. And because he's revealing it to me, he's called me to the body of Christ. So what I learn becomes yours, right? Just like what you learn becomes mine. We share it together. Right, we break bread together with the Lord. Okay, hang on just a second. Let me do something here. I get ready tonight. We're going to pray for everyone. I'm not through ministering quite yet, I think, but we're going to be praying for everyone and ministering to you. So if you miss other nights because we talk, never know who we're talking to. We could talk to them for an hour, talk to them for 30 minutes, or could talk to them for 3 hours. Who knows? We just do whatever. Mondays and Tuesdays. But on Wednesday, we have dedicated that to if you can call in, if you can get in. Most of the time you can get in 15 minutes early. Tonight I didn't have a show scheduled because I didn't know, so sorry about that. But usually you can call in 15 minutes early. Like the show starts at 9 p.m. You can call in at 8:45 and get first in line. You can do that. A lot of our friends know that. A lot of our new people don't know that. You can call into the show, get in line. You don't have to sit there and wait. You can turn it on speakerphone and wait for the show to start, and you can hear the show start, and then we'll come on, and then you'll be in line further in line. So that's going to be the best way to do it. All right. So hallelujah. All right. Also, pray for us that we are, you know, looking for land, looking for property. I feel like that's part of our breakthrough, that's breaking through, although I have nothing in mind. All right. Hang on a second. So we're looking for land, looking for property. Hopefully it has a building on it that we can already have electricity there. It'd be nice to find one that already had the building we want, but I think it's going to be, a miracle. We believe in those. But so we have nothing that we know of for sure, but that's one thing I'm feeling like we're breaking through in that area. There's something happening with that. Like I said, although I have no knowledge of anything, I feel like something is happening in that area. And so, anyway, there you go. So, all right, really, really good. We're going to be ministering to you tonight, praying for you. You heard me also talk about, I want to share just a little bit of this before I move on. In the prophet realm, it's not about whether the word that you get is fair or not, or whether a prophetic word is fair, right? We talked about that last night. The unfair movement going on, where the whole Trump dilemma and all over the news, all over the globe, people are talking about how unfair it was when Trump wasn't elected. And so there's a lot of those people, as I spoke last night about, that don't understand that yet. Some of them still don't understand it. Bless their heart, we need to pray for them so that they will. Because if they don't, that unfair thing is stuck down like a burr under their saddle. And it's going to mess with them. It's going to mess with them. It's going to cause them to do things that they would normally do, and be things and do things that they would normally do. So we need to pray that they get delivered and set free and help through that, because it's a very difficult thing for them. And because when you have a word from God, especially when it's a sovereign word, sometimes it's not fair. It truly isn't fair in the natural realm. Just like Jesus used that parable that we talked about last night, where he paid those who had only worked a couple of hours the same as he paid those who had worked all day long, and they came up and said, that's not fair. Remember that? He listened to that teaching last night. That's not fair. That's going to be a really, really big thing, believe it or not. God showed me, and I prophesied. I wasn't teaching that. I was prophesying that. So we need to get ready for that unfair movement. It's in the atmosphere. The unfair movement, it's kind of like an anointing, except it's annoying, and it's in the atmosphere. People are bitter over it. People are angry at the government, angry at me for, you know, our part in that, what they even have blamed me for some of that, which is crazy, but but God is good. And, because even knowing what God showed me, I'm going like, man, this is rough. This is some rough stuff. Because I even was hoping, you know, in my natural realm that it would say on the show, you know, Trump's economy's turned back around after, you know, the big thing that happened when it had head-on collision in the market, in February of last year. And I said, man, that thing turns around quickly. Trump could still win it. But yet I'm hearing another voice that says Joseph Biden. And I would shout, Joseph Biden. That was hard to understand, hard to comprehend. But at least it kind of gave some understanding of that God was trying to tell us, you know. So that helps to at least know and understand that God might have somehow been involved in that, and he was, but it really was unfair. It seemed unfair and a very difficult thing for a lot of people to go through. So that's one thing that we're going to see. We're going to talk about this more and more and more, because the unfair thing is going to become a big thing, the unfair movement. And if you feel like things are not fair for you, like it's not fair, I've been giving to you, God, I've been, you know, blessing you, doing what you asked me to do, and it's not fair because, you know, just like Joseph, I think Joseph went through a season in his life where things were just not fair. It's just not fair. You know, I didn't do anything wrong. Okay, I bragged to my brothers about a vision that I had, but God gave me the vision, so I messed up a little bit at that, but that's not worth all this. That's just not fair, you know. And then he got thrown into jail for, you know, a lie. And when he got thrown in jail for a lie, you know he was sitting there going, this ain't fair. You know, so God's going to use the realm of it's not fair, it being done from the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty means it's probably not going to be fair. It's not going to be that plus that equals this. It's not going to make any sense. Therefore, it's not going to be fair. And so God is about to deal with the globe with all of us on, well, that ain't fair. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. And it's okay to feel like that. Joseph felt like that. But he had to work his way through it. And when he did, when he came out on the other side, he saw something of God he'd never seen before. Especially when God said, you know, you've been saying to me, Joseph, all these years, off and on, it's not fair, and yet, you moved on. But you know what? What Satan meant for evil and looked unfair to you because God wasn't protecting you, God wasn't watching over you. Think how that felt, friend. I mean, he was a favored child. He wasn't like some of us. I wasn't a favored child. He was a favorite child. He was spoiled rotten. And so, you know, he dealt with that. It ain't fair. Just like you and I do. Yeah. So it's a really, really big thing. And the more we understand that this is something God's going to deal with all of us about, and one that Joseph dealt with it, that none of the stuff happened to him was fair, and it truly wasn't fair. Right? I mean, can you say that? I can say that. I can say that's not fair. When it all got turned around, he saw that why it looked like it wasn't fair, partially to do a work in him, right, in Joseph, so he could overcome the not fair thing. Because sometimes God does stuff, you know, like when he paid the parable where Jesus had him, he talked about that the guy paid them for 2 hours, paid them the same as he paid those who'd been out in the sun working all day long. That wasn't fair. And they came out and they said, that's not fair. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. And we're gonna see. So Joseph dealt with that. It was very difficult for him. And he overcame it. And then God says, well, I know. Look at it differently now, Joseph. How that God, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. It looked unfair. And Joseph goes, yeah, did it ever. It didn't look right. Yeah, it didn't. It sure didn't. But, you know, God used that he will use unfair things to go, like the master of the vineyard told the guys who came back and complained to him, that's not fair that you're paying that guy that was there for 2 hours, working 2 hours, and you paid him a denarius, and you paid us a denarius, and we worked in the heat of the sun. And the boss man said, the owner said, you know, who are you telling me what to do with what's mine? Whoa, Jesus, who are you to tell me what to do with what's mine? I want to be generous to somebody and you know, them not go through what you had to go through, then that's my thing. Wow. Ouchie. That's a little ouchie. May need more than a Band-Aid for that ouchie. And Joseph dealt with that. And then, right when he probably starting to get over it, thanking God for the favor he had, hoping he'll get back to his dad and find that favor again. You know, he gets accused and thrown in prison. that guy, you can see where God was working in him and using the unfair thing, the unjust thing, the injustice of the whole thing to raise him up. We're going to talk about that more in the future because this is going to be a really big thing. It's going to be a really big thing, yeah. It is going to be a really big thing. And as we understand it and unfold the unfair thing, which is the unfold the unfair scenario, you're going to find yourself getting set free. You're going to find yourself going, who am I to complain about? I mean, I'm just glad I'm saved, man. If you want to pay somebody
you know, double it. I mean, you're having working hard, and you just pay me, you know, the same paying them. It's your business. Thank you for paying me. You know, thank you for your grace. Thank you for doing what you said you were going to do. You did what the master did what he said he was going to do. But they thought, they assumed, the Bible says, that he would pay them more now. He said, what business is it of yours? What I do with my money. Oh, bullshit, with my favor. Now, sometimes God will put somebody in front of you that you know they don't deserve that favor, and they get it anyways. Like, what happened to that? I've been over here doing that, and all of a sudden, and so God will use that to get you to take a step up. If you become a victorious person instead of a victim, you become victorious instead of a victim and go down a few steps. You step up a step going, God, thank you for giving them favor. Thank you for paying them as much as you pay me. Though I've been working in the heat of the day and laboring all that. Thank you. Thank you, God. And it's going to bring some praises up in people's hearts. They're going to find themselves being grateful and thankful to God and knowing that God can do whatever he wants. If he wants to raise up Titan, let's put him in position for a reason. Who are we to say you can't do that? That ain't fair. Because in the natural realm, that's exactly what it looked like. Same thing with Joseph. Trump learns about the unfair thing. Shannon says, I love this. Shannon says, he just texted me, says, since you've been talking about it, it's been hitting me between the eyes. My long wait and perseverance has been hard, and fear, losing strength, and not getting my prayer answered. And I felt the shift you're talking about in the spirit too. Okay, you felt the shift. Awesome. Like something's different. Even though right now everything still looks the same. But I couldn't have said it any better than that. That's exactly what's going on with me. And I feel something's happened. And I have to be honest with you, man. I wish I knew. I could always tell prophets, you know, don't just be saying something big's going to happen. I tell them, unless God's really telling you to say, just say what the big thing is. If you know, if you don't, you know, oh, I feel like something really, you know, I've had prophets, well-known prophets, trying to tell me how to do the market works when they never really had any, never that I know of, never, and I knew them, trying to tell me how to do the market. They sent me a little paper on how, this is how prophets do the market word, and here's how they should say do a spot market word. If the people of God in America do good, then the market's going to do good. If the people in America don't repent, then it's going to do bad. And they just looked at me like, this is the greatest thing. I looked at that and I went, what? I did. I hate to say it. I just looked at that and go, you know, I lost my respect for them in that area right away, right instantly. I read that, and it was very irreversible. Had it to me in paper so I could read it. And I read that and I went, you know, this is just like, That is not God. I mean, that's a general statement, right? That's not a prophetic word. It's not a prophetic word at all. And I was like going, well, I guess maybe I've grown up more than I thought, because this right here with a person who's been a prophet for a long time and traveled the world, basically, like, you know, it made me sad. I felt bad for him, sort of. That never really happened. I'm making this up. You can't make this stuff up, I don't think. Yeah. All right. Let's take callers tonight and see what's going on. And I'm kind of jumping around all over the place tonight, right? That seems like that's what I'm doing. I don't know why. Been a really busy week. I've had a lot of stuff going, a lot of pressure. Not bad pressure, but some of it, the pressure has been, it's important to know what kind of pressure you have. That's where I'm going to go with this before I take calls. It's important to know what kind of pressure you're having on you, because sometimes people pray against you. Like, I have some people right now praying against me, and, you know, a lot of thoughts going against me, you know, toward me specifically, a lot of arrows, a lot of darts, that kind of thing. major way. And so I used to do pretty good with that, but it's like it was getting me down. I was like, bing, 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 every day, bing, 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 this thought, that thought, every kind of thought. Thoughts coming from everywhere. And I mean, it was like getting me down. I was getting like wore out. That's what it is. It wears you out. So my prayer that I know to pray, I should have prayed it a long time ago, you know, in Jesus' name, you know, Father, every weapon formed against me shall not prosper, but every tongue that rises against me in judgment, you know, I condemn. And that's why I did that a few times. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it. So I started condemning those tongues. Pretty soon, it's like those darts just started falling up. I mean, I'm talking about some, you know, darts I haven't had in a while. Honestly, yeah, I mean, it's just falling off. Man, thank you, Jesus. You know, but I'm having sometimes you go through times where you are going to fight that more than others. So if you don't know where that pressure, because it comes in the form of pressure, and pressure, oppression, to try to get you down, try to get you, it's not fair, that kind of thing, unforgiveness, you know, whatever the thing is, the strategies. And, you know, so it's really, you need to know what's coming against me. Is it people's thoughts coming against me? You have to rise up and say, every weapon formed against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn it. And I say it over and over and over again until I feel that stuff breaking off of me. And, you know, and then there's other kinds of pressures. So you need to know what the pressure, sometimes the pressures of God, sometimes God's pressuring you. You know, to get right about some things, to, you know, don't be telling your secrets. Don't be telling people, you know, it's my hair, cut my hair, and I don't have any power. Keep your mouth shut about that. You know, so don't tell people what the real thing is. You know, and you can see where Samson played with it, because he played with Delilah. Like, okay, she says, what is it? Oh, Samson, what is it? And he would play with her. He would mess with it. If you get fresh rope, you know, has ever been used before, tie me up and bind me up. And then she would do that. She would do it, and he would wake up, Samson, they're coming after you. And he would wake up, and he'd whoop up on the Philistines or, you know, whatever. And so he played with it. You could see that he was playing with things, and his playing with things, the wrong thing, you know, opened him up to finally giving in, which is, you know, because sometimes you look at that and you go, how in the world could he have done that when, you know, she was after his life. She was even saying, they're coming against you. He even knew what she was trying to get done. And yet he still did it. That doesn't make any sense, right? But that, the obviousness of that, the how stupid that was, how can you be so dumb? But the more you drink the poison of doing those things, those little things, like he was spending time with Delilah, playing with her, like, yeah, tie me up, and then he would, you know, then it wouldn't be it. He wouldn't, and then finally he gave in. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So it has to be something more than what we realize. What it was the little things he was doing here and there that were adding up, and the point where we finally used a compromise. All right, so you got to watch that stuff. Keep that stuff right with God. Take communion. Get it right. If you sin, mess up, you know, get it right with God. Keep your mind clean. Pretty soon your mind's going to be so tattered up or so filled with all kinds of nonsense, you're not going to be able to see the truth and see what you're about to do. And you'll be doing stuff you never do. Trust me. Brother, it's yeah. So, better watch it. All right, let's take our callers now. I know I'm ready, okay? Thank you for being with us. All right, my first caller tonight. I go down here and get my number thing going. 972, you'll be first. Thank you. 794-754. Be second, 912, be third, 240, next, go after that, 325 after that, 803 after that, 803 with 9, and 202 after that. And then 205 after that, 10 after that. 847 after that.
573 after that. 402 after that. 919 after that. 469 after that. Again, I think that's it for now. All right. 402. You were after 573. 973 first, 754. Then 912, then 240, then 325, then 803 with a 9 on it, 202 after that, 205 after that, 610 after that, 847 after that, 573, 402, 919, 469. Okay? That help? All right. All right, let's take our callers tonight and ask you your first name and what state you're from, and then just and then we'll go from there. All right, 972-695. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey. They went to be with their daughter tonight in some kind of a concert or something. That was awesome. I remember going to some of those. Sometimes it's kind of crazy. Like, you go there and you listen to those kids, you go like, my gosh, sometimes they're really talented, sometimes they're not, you know. But usually it's pretty good. But when your own kids up there are doing that stuff, it's truly, truly cool. So, yeah, all right. All right, thank you, Jude. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, our friend from Texas. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that special favor, Father, special favor that I know that the things that you guys have been through, it's just, you know, it's like Joseph, I think, in many ways. And, you know, I think this message tonight, you know, that God's been giving me about the unfair thing is we're just seeing it across the body of Christ. And I see you guys depending on the grace of God as never before, because grace is unmerited, undeserved favor, which is what God is starting to show me, because I've dealt with this. I've dealt with this. Man, I got some stuff I can tell you that, you know, wouldn't be as bad as some people, but for me it's pretty rough, you know, that I'm going like, you know, you wouldn't believe the real truth about that. You know, you wouldn't believe the real truth I told you. It just sounds crazy, but it's the truth. You know, God is my witness type thing. And, you know, and the unfairness of the thing. And sometimes God won't let me fight back, you know, because sometimes not fighting back until he gets permission to fight back is the fight. That becomes the fight, because sometimes the fight that God's doing, he's fighting in me, he's working in me. He was doing something in Joseph. When Joseph was, you know, betrayed by his brothers and sold off into Egypt, and then right when he got things going on, you know, boom, he got hit again, you know, thrown in prison for, you know, supposedly messing with Pharaoh, with Potiphar's wife. I mean, that was crazy. And you're talking about not fair, man. I mean, that really was not fair. So it's not like it's some fantasy land not fair, but there's this higher level. I see God bringing you to a higher level of his grace. Paul the Apostle had his eyes open to the grace of God. You'd think Paul would know about that, being the kind of guy he was, murdering Christians, and, you know, then all of a sudden Jesus knocks him off his horse. The prophecy he gets is like, you're going to suffer a whole lot, but God's really going to use you. It's like, okay, well, that's a balance of scales, you know, thank God. And that's exactly what happened to him. But he learned to live off the grace of God, because it's unmerited, undeserved favor. In other words, God's heard how God started dealing with me recently about the unfair thing is that I'm going like, God, you know, that's a big question to me. This is unfair. And it really is unfair to me. But with Joseph's situation, it's like God goes, I'm going to use the unfair situation. I'm going to do this on purpose. I'm going to allow this to happen, so to speak. And you know, like, wow. I've done nothing wrong. I've done it. And yet this stuff, what is this stuff? And God used it to get, you know, Joseph also into that grace, understanding grace, unmerited, undeserved favor, because he did everything right. You know, Joseph was a guy who was outstanding, and yet he was still being, so, you know, God had to
open his eyes to unmerited favor in a way he'd never learned before. And he was a smart man. He was a good man. Paul the Apostle, before he became Paul, he was not some religious hypocrite who was doing religion to, you know, just to be known to people. He was truly a Pharisee of Pharisees, I mean, which meant in a good way. He was truly a godly man. He was truly doing, he wasn't perfect, but he was truly a righteous man. He had testimony. He said, you know, among my brothers, I was known as a man who, you know, really, I stood out among all of them, and because I was living the law better than all of them were, basically. And he knew a lot about the law. He was a very smart person. And yet, you know, so when God knocked on his door, then and he got blinded, and the things that started happening to him, you know, God used that to teach him, when he gave him thorn in the flesh, that be an avenue, a door opening to him for the unmerited, undeserved favor of God, which went to the Gentiles. That's why he was called to go to the Gentiles. The Gentiles weren't the one. Jesus said, I can't heal your daughter, cast the devil out of your daughter, because the bread goes to the children first. You know, and who was Paul? Paul was the one who took the bread to the children that it didn't belong to. You know, that the bread went to the deliverance, or the children's bread went to the children. You know, not to the non-children. The non-children were the Gentiles, and yet Paul the Apostle was called, Phoenicia and Tyre, to go to the Gentiles, and so he even needed a double dose of unmerited, undeserved favor, you know, going especially to the Gentiles, whom God wouldn't even let Jesus go to them. You know, he still did things. Yeah, I mean, he still delivered that woman. She said, you know, but Lord, but, you know, the puppy dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table, and Jesus couldn't help it. He just had to do it. And then other people he touched too. But generally speaking, you know, just like Paul was called to the Gentiles, not to the Jews, Jesus was called to the Jews and not the Gentiles, you know, as far as his that first part of his calling. He died for everybody. But his calling at that time was to the Jews, to reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so, you know, and so God is you know, through all the unfair things, the stuff that goes on, you know, and only God knows what those truly are unfair. Some things are happen to us because, you know, life is life. But there truly are unfair things. And just like Joseph, that was truly unfair, truly. But it opened his eyes to what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. It was working it for good. And he didn't see that at first. That took him a long, because he was in the unfair business, just like all of us. I'm telling you, this is a big thing, a really big thing. God's going to unlock the unfair realm. And something's going on. I feel something's breaking loose. I wish I could. I feel like those prophets out there, don't be just saying God's going to do something. Say what he's going to do, at least in the general areas, political, financial. You don't have to say in a particular financial area, but in the financial arena, what's he going to do something good about it? And here I am saying this. I don't know what it is. I feel like with PGN, it's the land and the property. I don't know if that's about to open up with that, but that I feel something's broken free, broken loose. Yeah, so that unmerited, undeserved favor, y'all, I mean, that is, it's going to be in your soul. It's going to be in your worship. It's going to be like, unmerited, undeserved favor, you know, because if anybody deserved favor, it was Joseph. If anybody did, it was him, right? Jesus, too, right? And, you know, but, and Paul the Apostle certainly deserved, you know, I mean, he was, yeah. And so, good man, and God still gave him a thorn to teach him about, because he was so good in his own way. God had to use those things to bring him to a depth of the grace of God. Oh my God, I feel this thing all over me, going through my mind, the back of my skull, the back of my head. I feel it going through me, and she's penetrating the mind. I feel like things are being broken off your mind right now. Maybe both of you, I'm not sure, but something being broken off your mind. Thinking things about you, maybe your enemies, maybe people who try to be your enemies. I don't know, I'm sure what that is, but I feel like something's penetrating the back of your skull, in your brain. Something's being broken off right now, in Jesus' name, in a very special way. I've been talking about how I've been going through battles this week, and all of a sudden I realized, man, I'm being shot with darts everywhere. Boom, bing, boom, boom. I mean, it could be from everywhere. Somebody's really good. Somebody's really going at it. I'm telling you, somebody's been busy. And, like, you know, I know they don't like me, but, I mean, this is a whole different level. So, you know, I know better. And I'm going, like, yes. Finally I broke through and said, no, every tongue that rises against me, judges, I condemn. I condemn those tongues. You might try that. You probably already do it, I'm sure. But in your worship, in your music, in your life and who you are as a person, that unmerited, undeserved favor is going to tap you into a dimension of God's favor that you've never seen or known before. And you're going to be like, wow. I mean, you know, wow. Like Joseph, he thought he was doomed to unfair things happening all of his life because that's what was going on. Unfair things. And then one day, Boomba interprets a dream. Woo! The amazing thing about all that is he interpreted a dream about one guy going to get his head chopped off. Think about that. And then the other guy interpreted his dream that he's going to be raised up. Think about that. Yeah, and that's his obedience to that. Can you imagine telling somebody, yeah, tomorrow they're going to come get you, you're going to cut your head off. They're going like, oh, you're going to get favor. You're going to get raised up. You can imagine what the atmosphere was like in the cell when he told him that. Yeah, that's just how, you know, that just showed Terrence and Phoenicia how he was ready for doing whatever God says, because that's a tough thing to do. Yeah, just ask somebody who does kind of that, find out how hard that is to do as far. You have to know God saying that stuff before you say it, because the daggers are coming from the guy you said you cut his head off. The daggers are coming at you. You have to, like, pull them out in the name of Jesus by the prayer and the worship. I sense the spirit of worship coming up in you guys, the spirit of worship. I know tonight, before I came on, I wanted to say, I wish I had a band or something or a team that would worship, because I wanted to just have a worship service. Yeah, and I'm thinking, I can't have a worship service, but that's what I feel like I want to do, you know? It's really weird. So, yeah, and the spirit of worship rising up. And it filled with the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. You know what that means? That means people getting saved, people getting healed. And a lot of people get healed. Or, you know, you've seen, I don't know, Tanisha, you've seen that where people get healed that, you know where they were a heathen of heathens. I've seen heathens get healed. I prayed for them and watched them get healed. And then once they got healed, then I prayed the sinner's prayer with them, because they got it. I said, if you get healed, we accept Jesus as your Savior. And they go, yeah, but that wasn't going to happen. And then when that guy could walk around without pain in his heel, he knew something happened. And, you know, but he was lost as a goose in hell. So what was that? That was unmerited favor, reaching out to a sinner. That's what Jesus walked in. He was a friend of sinners. He walked in that unmerited, undeserved favor. You know, and Jesus was perfect. You know, why did he need unmerited favor? For the people to impart it unto them, because they needed the unmerited favor, undeserved, unmerited. Yeah. So it wasn't merited. And God's working in that thing, but we don't get caught up into the law of making sure that we walk in grace, because grace keeps us from thinking, I'm doing everything right. I got everything lined up. Okay, I'm doing this, doing that, and the other. Okay, doing really good. Praise God. Now I ought to break through, and all of a sudden it falls apart. You go like, that's not fair. You know, I've had that happen many a time. Oh, I guess the Lord says, I want you to learn to live by grace. You can see a lot more miracles happen. All right, 754-240, who am I talking to recently? All right. 754-240, did I say anything? Did it get hung up? Okay. I know who that is, so I'm supposed to ask Tanya, Donald and Tanya. Lord, thank you for Donald and Tanya tonight. God, we thank you for the power of deliverance, God, and for the power to deliver and the power of deliverance in their hands, God. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering alcoholics, for delivering people who have addiction issues. That God is going to show you how to tap into the power of God of that. To speak the word where you break that off of people, the shackles of genetic inheritance, the shackles of hell, the shackles of doom, feeling doomed, the doom spirit, the spirit of doom. There you go. That's amazing. Spirit of doom. Yeah. And people are doomed. They feel doomed by it. I'm never going to get free of this. My daddy had it. My mama had it. Everybody else had it. I got it. You know, I saw their life go to hell, and my life go to hell in a handbasket. So, you know, I'm feel doomed. They feel doomed. And God releasing through you the power of words to change the mind of people, where they go from the doom realm to the bloom realm, B-L-O-O-M, bloom. From doom to bloom. Woo, I love this stuff. From doom to bloom. Hakapa waha shekumbavore. Yesha opa, the power of deliverance in your tongue. The power of deliverance. Tanya, in your tongue. The power of deliverance. Like, I see your tongue like a sharp two-edged sword. You know, and that's only the word of the Lord. Our words, we can speak the Bible all we want to, and our tongue just be as dull as it can be. But when we're speaking forth the word by the Spirit of God, and it's coming out of us by God's Spirit, it is sharp, it is two-edged, and it just slices and dices the enemy right off of people. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. My God, get ready for that. That's revival. Haka hohale haku mo shenda. Revival, outpouring. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right, 912-398. We're going to talk to you from something.
Lindsay and Paulette from Savannah, Georgia.
Lindsay and Paulette?
Yes.
Oh, hey, y'all. All right. Yeah, I think it reminds me, I think I got a text from Paulette. Good to have you guys tonight. I know it's something about sure being shy, and Lindsay, I never responded to that yet because I just actually thought about it. But this whole thing that you guys, Paulette, is Paulette and who? I'm sorry, I got distracted there.
Lindsay.
Lindsay, okay, Lindsay.
Mom. Yes.
Okay, Paulette and Lindsay, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, dear. All right, Paulette and Lindsay. All right. Lindsay. And Paulette, my friend Paulette. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord. I started thinking about that text you gave me, Paulette. Yeah. So I pray for Paulette tonight. I'm going to pray for Paulette first. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your of freedom. God, that she seeks freedom more than anything. God's going to show you the whole spirit of freedom and liberty. Liberty, you know, in every area, like that God wants to bring, like liberty in the sin realm where people have sin to get free of their sin. Liberty in the medical realm, the freedom in the, you know, social realm, freedom in the, you know, the law realm, the law of the courts and all that kind of thing. And see the spirit of liberty. I see you like ringing the bell of God's liberty. Like God, I don't know what this means exactly, Paulette, but I see you like ringing the bell of God's liberty. And, you know, I don't know if that's something you do with your mouth, something goes over your heart. I see you ringing the bell of liberty to where you know, God taps you into the power of liberty and the bell of God's liberty ringing through you just to give people hope. It's just like back in the day when they would hear bells ringing, certain things going on. They kind of knew what that meant. Like God using you to be the bell tower. And the bell tower starts ringing, ding, 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 ding. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Yeah, like, you know, the witch is dead. Come on out now. You know, like, freedom. I don't know why that came out exactly. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Yeah. Hey, that's because it's Halloween coming up. I just thought about that, Paulette. That's funny. That is funny. And the spirit of freedom, it's like, you know, the tower, the bell tower inside of you or something, ringing the spirit of liberty in Jesus' name is speaking it over people and people just hearing it going, okay, the wicked witch is dead because that's her song. Ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. Everybody come out. The witch is dead. We're free. We're liberate. We have liberty. You know, something like that. I don't have a clue what it is, but But open that up to your spirit, open it up to your heart, to where you find yourself in confidence, knowing that when God's ringing your bell, when God's ringing your bell, that it's God ringing your bell, right? And you know when He's ringing your bell, when it's you, you know, doing your thing, whatever that is, it's, you know, that God ringing His bell through you, and the bell of liberty in all areas. So, hey, that's pretty cool. All right, Lindsay, thank you, Lindsay. With us. Thanks for getting on the phone tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I see God taking away the curtains, things that have been hidden. I see you being able to see into things that you're not normally able to see into, being able to understand things. Seeing into is like understanding things, the hidden things, things that have been, where the curtains have been drawn, like when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent, things were opened where people could go right to the Father. They were able to see God, know God. And so I really see you being able to see God and know God and understand God in ways that you never have before. And because the veil is being rent, and also people around you, people that you're praying for, people you're believing God for, people that haven't been able to, that have been blinded by Satan, blinded by the enemy, or their eyes are going to be opened, and that's kind of a veil being rent. You know, like when the Jews were able to see Christ, the Jewish people, their eyes, the veil was rent. They were able to see Christ. And I see the veil being rent in people in your life, in yourself. You know, with you, it's like being able to see things about God that you've never seen before, being able to see into the mysteries of God, and, you know, things you've not understood before, where you can look into them and see them and go, oh, I see what you're saying about that God. Yeah, so things not being so mysterious all the time. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Knowing means takes away the mystery. What does that mean? It's really cool, really awesome. I don't know what it means. Jesus spoke a lot of times, and people go, I don't know what he said, but it was awesome. You know, so we want to move into, I don't know what he said, but that's awesome, to, man, I got it. I know what he said. Now I know what he means. And God give you understanding of the word. And it's happening in your mind, God clearing your mind. And there's somebody, I don't know if they're dealing with drugs, or they're on some kind of a medication from the doctor or something. But it fogs her brain, fogs her mind. I see that going on. And I see God, you know, washing that, cleansing that, delivering them from that, where their mind is clear. And they find out what they really need to do to get that mind clear, keep their mind clear without the medication. You know, and so as God reveals that, that'll happen. So it could just be, a pharmaceutical thing going on. I don't know, but maybe a doctor prescribed or something. I don't know what that is, but I see that fogging at that. Thing being washed away and being opened up so they can be free of that in Jesus' name. Amen. That's cool. All right. 240-480-482. Am I talking to you real quick, please?
Good evening. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Valerie. All right. Good to see you, Valerie. All right. Thank you. All right, Valerie. All right, thank you, Jesus. The language of the Spirit, the language of the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues, as awesome as that is, but it's the language of the Spirit. The language of the Spirit, it penetrates walls. You know, our language just, you know, hits the wall and bounces off. But the Spirit, the language of the Spirit, in other words, when the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, and the Holy Spirit is, when your words are full of the Holy Spirit, they penetrate walls, not just physical walls like a house wall, but the walls of your heart, the walls of people's heart. And you're going to find yourself seeing the penetration power of God's word because you're going to find yourself, you know, just being by the unction of the Holy Spirit, like speaking something, you know, maybe something short, something small, say, hi, how are you? And something breaks off somebody, like, God's showing you the power of your tongue, the grace that's in you, that God's unveiling the grace inside you so when you can speak it, that you can speak and articulate that grace where it becomes a language, where it becomes, you know, so you don't really say, hi, hey, how are you? Now you say, hi, how are you? You know, or something, you know, it's the same word, but the grace of God in those words, unmerited, undeserved favor in those words, in your words, grace manifesting in your words. I think maybe that's what went on with Paul. What God did with him is like his words became powerful because they penetrated, you know, the walls. And nobody deserves, you know, the things of God. deserving them, right? So that's why Jesus could heal anybody and heal everybody, because he walked in that that realm of grace. You know, the Bible says in John, St. John says, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Christ was full of grace and truth. I think it's John 1:14, somewhere in there. I don't know exactly what that, but he was full of grace and truth. And so he was able to penetrate the walls of people who didn't feel like they deserve God's things. And most people walk around rejecting God because they think, well, I know me. I don't deserve God. And they need someone to come along and just, you know, say to them something. Hi, how are you doing? You know, I'm praying for you. Or, you know, definitely shouldn't be anything big. But the grace of God that's in that, Valerie, you're going to find it penetrating walls, penetrating things. When your prayers, when it's full of grace, grace just like breaks all the boundaries down. It's like the love, and the grace of God just like takes the limits off what our words can do. They become powerhouse for God, penetrating in our prayers, breaking through, you know, the ceiling, so to speak. Why? Because they're full of grace. It's not how good I can pray, not how much scripture I know, although that's all okay, but it's like, am I flowing in the Holy Spirit? Are his words, the spirit and life flowing through me? Because that's what causes the prayers to penetrate and go, you know, move and do things. Sending the word. The only way you can send the word and to go and touch somebody is by the Spirit, and you know that. God's really open his, and God, give her favor and give her, let Valerie be known as a person full of grace and truth. Not just grace, but truth. But her truth is going to be in grace, right? The truth is going to come forth with grace in it. My truth, Valerie, used to come forth with just without grace. It was like blah, blah, blah. truth, but no grace. And then God started moving to the grace realm. So that's really cool. All right, 954-580. I'm going to talk to the room, please.
Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Caroline from Jamaica.
Oh, hi. Carmen, how are you doing? All right. Good to have you tonight. I'm sorry, I think I'm... All right. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister tonight. Was that 954? Yes, 954. I missed that. Not 954. All right. Carl, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus, Lord, for my sister tonight. We thank you, Father, for penetrating the power of the words that people... That affect you. It's like I see God is showing you about the armor. So because what the armor is about is that when the things come at you, you know, God shows you how to, you know, break. Well, they can't penetrate you, but they can't penetrate your mind. Sometimes, like with me, it's like when things are hitting me, if I'm thinking clearly, you know, if I'm in the flow, I'll know right away what's going on. Which I don't always, and I'll say, in Jesus' name, every tongue that rises against me is judgment. I condemn that tongue. Because tongues send forth words. Words are like darts. Words are like arrows. And so God's showing you how to walk in that place, like the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, your feet being shod, and all the covering that God gives us of his protection, and showing you how to walk in that. Sometimes we just think because we got the armor on that nothing ever happened. But it's like, you know, sometimes the armor that we have is the words that come out of our mouth, the prayer that God gives. Like when he gives me that word, that prayer about no tongue that rises against me, you know, I condemn it. And I literally, the Bible says to condemn those tongues that rise against you. No, we're condemning people, but we're condemning the words. So God's going to really show you how to separate out words that people speak from, you know, darts and, you know, attacks and that kind of thing. Because, you know, just like Peter was used of the enemy without even knowing it. You know, Jesus wasn't saying, Peter, you're the devil. He was saying, Peter, you know, get behind me, man. I bind you, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You know, he was talking to Satan because he knew that the darts that were being sent to him, like, you don't have to die, Jesus. It was the very thing Jesus struggled with all, you know, he lived with that every day. Like, he's gonna die on the cross. He lived with that every day, thinking about it. What's it going to happen? What's it going to come to pass? And then Peter is, you know, being used of Satan to throw some darts at him, if you will. And he's kind of like, you know, get behind me, Satan. In other words, he dealt with it real quick. And he got it dealt with real quick. Which when we don't, so that becomes your armor. Your armor sometimes becomes the word. They said Jesus is going to slay the enemy with the words of his mouth. The words of his mouth. And God's showing you how to use the words of your mouth to deal with a lot of things. And where in the armor, a lot about the armor is what I'm hearing about the armor. God's showing you how to work in the armor, what the armor's for, how to do that. It's not just like I put on the armor of God. And they think because they got it on, it doesn't, you know, but they have to realize that putting on the armor of God means, hey, I'm weaponed up with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, I need you to pray a prayer of no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that, comes against me in judgment, rises against me, I'm going to condemn it. And so that becomes your armor. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's not just like we're wearing something spiritually and that protects us. What we're wearing is the Holy Spirit telling us that when a dart hits us, you know, it goes like, okay, here's your weapon against that. Here's your shield of faith word. Pray this prayer. You see what I'm saying? It's not the armor of God is different than what we think it is. And God's showing you how that works and how that functions so that when you come under attack, you know what it is, you know how to deal with it, and it can't penetrate, and it can't do a work. So that's what the scripture says. It says, no weapon formed against me can prosper. They're formed against you. They're formed against your weaknesses. They're formed against the areas that you feel bad because you didn't say the right thing to your friend. You feel guilty about that, and the enemy knows right when to hit you, and you're feeling guilty about it. I didn't say the right thing to my friend. I'm telling the truth about what they need to hear. God, forgive me. And the enemy knows. He forms a weapon against you in the areas that you struggle in, that you have battle in, right? To try to get you for that thing to prosper. Prosper means it torments you, it separates you from God. You know, not eternally, but the more shame and guilt I carry over things, mistakes I make, the further away from God that I am. My intimacy with Him is changed. And that's what the enemy's after. He hates it, the fact that we now have intimacy with God. That's everything he does is to destroy that and to disengage that in our mind, thinking you're guilty of that, God doesn't love you. You know, that's a weapon formed against us. Amen. And so there we go. We rise up and condemn those things. Or whatever the armor, whatever word God gives you, your armor is, you know, like that you have to fight, the sword in your hand to fight. It's part of your armor, right? And whatever that sword is saying, whatever the sword of the Spirit is saying, all right, not just some made up something we got out of the scripture we think is going to work, but the Holy Spirit saying. All right. So there we go. All right. Let's take our next caller here. 325-280. Let me talk to you where you're from, please.
Chris from Texas.
All right, my brother Chris. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name for victory. God, I just thank you for the victory, the spirit of victory, and in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of victory in Chris. And God, because one of the things God's called you to do, Chris, is, you know, it's like King David. When King David was such a warrior, he had such a heart for God, and he was such a warrior that when he took his men out, the spirit of David was got on the men around him. And he was such an example to them. Like when they would, you know, go and win a battle, you know, he made sure they had all that they needed. Take care of your family here. Take some of my stuff. And, you know, he blessed people. He was very generous. And because of that, you know, his men really looked up to him. And he shared his booty, you know, with them. And they made sure that he was generous with his people. And that spirit of generosity that's in you and that's why God's going to increase and multiply you, because the heart you have to, you know, to be generous with your friends, your neighbors, whoever you share things with in your life, and to have that spirit of generosity upon you, to where that people start favoring you because of that generosity. And you're going to see that. You're going to see that spirit of generosity rise up within you and grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's going to draw people to be generous to you, because the Bible says, you know, like, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the generous, for they shall obtain generosity. So as your generosity moves toward, you know, your friends, your loved ones, whatever God calls you to be generous toward, that generosity is going to come back to you. And so the people that you are generous to, just with your words. I don't talk about money. I'm talking about, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with your friendship, with your prayer, with your love, with your, being kind. That generosity is going to come back to you in a big way, because some of the people you're generous to are going to become blessed, and they're going to add some of their booty, like David shared his booty, with his warriors that were with him. He was very generous with them, and they loved him for that, and they knew that he was going to be a good king because he wasn't greedy and he wasn't keeping things to himself. He always shared it with people, and that's why David, one of the reasons David had favor, God put that in him, and because God put that in him, it caused him to have great favor with the people. Just loved him, and you can see it in his life. Like when one of his sons rebelled against him, he so loved his family, he so loved that when his own son rebelled against him, Absalom rebelled against him in a major way. People always were afraid that when, even though his son rebelled against him, that it would just tear David up, like he would be broken over him. Like when Absalom got killed, even by one of his own men, it just broke his heart. He wept over that. My Absalom. He felt like he was partially responsible for Absalom being killed because of his stuff he had been through and failed in those areas. And so, he was so generous even to his rebellious son, he wept over him and showed, I love him, even though he rebelled against me. And everybody knew he really meant it. He was generous. David was a generous person with his love for people and his kingdom and the people. And so that came back to him in so many different ways, where people were loyal to him. And I see the spirit of loyalty coming to you through people. People that may have been wishy-washy about their loyalty to God and to you, you're going to see a loyalty and an honor and respect because people are going to see your heart, that you're not just out for the money, you're not just out for the things, you're out for seeing people get blessed and a generosity that is upon your life. In all these different ways that God's opened that up so you can, it's going to come back to you with favor. God's going to give you favor with people, favor with your situations. So that when you need it, you're going to be surprised. People are going to go like, man, I don't know why I'm doing this for you, but I want to give this people like half price or something. I'm going to give you a good, really good deal on this because you know what? You're just like, there's just something about you. I don't know what it is. I want you having my stuff. I want you having this thing. I want, because you're going to do good with it. And that's the favor I'm talking about. So thank you, Jesus, for my brother. Amen and amen. All right. 803-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Pastor Rand. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela, let's tell everybody kind of what happened to you. You want to talk about that for a second?
Sure, that's fine. Yeah.
Last night you came on the show and I started praying over you. It's kind of funny that you're right after my brother giving him a word about generosity, because I came on the show last night and something about your giving spirit, the spirit of giving, of how you learn when you do something for people, you don't do it in a you owe me thing. You do it in a giving spirit, and the whole word was about that, and how God is going to bless you because of that. And then at the end of the word, I think when we finished talking, you said that how generous your boss is and that kind of thing, and then I started hearing how the Lord said how blessed you were, how God blessed you with that, to see that, to witness that, and then now how God's going to multiply and increase your boss and you because of all that, something like that. Straighten me out or whatever I didn't say right, but tell me about that. What happened today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I came in to work this morning. And I actually went and wrote the scripture you had told me about also. I put that on my desk, I think it's Luke 9:16. And shortly after I wrote the scripture and put it on my desk, I get a call. And I get a call from actually a friend of the owner's. And this man is very well off, very well off. And so he wants to buy a car we have, that which is a Jeep. And so he and I were talking about it, and he's put a down payment on it to come in and pick it up Friday. But this man, he's like a very well, I want to say a millionaire. He's got plenty of money for what one of the guys that was telling me. So he had called this morning, and I took the call, which I'm glad I answered. So because we had like three people working in the office, but I happened to catch the call. So, and I thought immediately thought about your prophecy last night, because right after that, I had a lady came in. She wanted this truck that we did not have. We haven't had them for months. And so I was telling her, I said, well, it's probably going to be a while before we get this particular truck she was looking for in. And so I took her name and stuff. I told her, I'll call her. If I get one, I'll give her a call. Well, lo and behold, about 30 minutes later, I get a call for the exact same truck she wants to buy.
Oh, my God.
This guy's trying to sell it. These are people who are bringing their cars to us. And you had said that last night, that the increase. And today, wow, I was just amazed. So I sent you the text because it's like confirmation.
Yeah.
So he's coming tomorrow. Yeah, with a 2500 truck is what she wanted. So he wants to get rid of his. Yeah.
Wow. That's mind-boggling. And so before we get to the show, the scripture she's talking about is I kept hearing the Lord say to tell you that when Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it out, like your boss was doing, mm-hmm. it like you do, that God was going to multiply and increase that with cars or something. I don't remember exactly what the word was, but – and so when you text me this morning, you're going like, man, that word you gave last night. And I asked you, I said, if you could take that scripture maybe and put it on something or do something or take it to work with you and open your Bible up to it or something and just kind of get it in the atmosphere mm-hmm. that God would bless. And so you did that, and then this mm-hmm. all happened today. That's so amazing, man. Yeah, that's amazing.
It is amazing, because at the time when I actually pulled it up on the computer, I said, well, he said something about breaking the fish in the two loaves of follows of bread and two fish, and I went to the computer and pulled it up, and I wrote it as soon as I wrote it down. But it was Luke 9:16, because when I looked at my computer, it said 9:18 this morning on my computer, and it was Luke 9:16 was the actual scripture, and I wrote it down and put it in front of my computer. And lo and behold, shortly after that, I got a couple calls today, so I was like, wow, God, that's all confirmation.
Well, that's amazing. That is amazing, truly amazing. The word of the Lord is so amazing. And the thing that opened it up, of course, is because, you know, you already have a heart for being a giver, you know, in everything you do. It's like, that's what God was showing. And then we ended the conversation with that, break the bread, you know, and God's going to, you know, bless your business and bless the boss and all that kind of thing. And you actually obeyed the Lord. So cool how you did that. And because you came in line with God, the blessing that's already on you and on your boss, That word came to pass rather quickly, and it's just the beginning. That's so awesome.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right,
All
right. Thank you for sharing that. I didn't want to take too much time because we don't do much talking on Wednesdays, as you know. But thank you for sharing that, and thanks for letting me know about that. That really encouraged me today. All right, let's pray for you.
Okay.
Thank you. Ed. All right. That was so awesome. She texted me before. She said, man, you're not going to believe what's going on. But it was so awesome. She did what the Word of the Lord recommended. And plus, you know, I don't know. It's just amazing. Wow. It's so cool. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Angela. I thank you, Father, for how that, you know, when I thought about that word, Angela, I've never given that word to anybody, as far as I know, in my life. How, you know, the giving spirit on you and God increasing it is about, you know, when you say things to people and do things for them, you don't tie strings to it, you know, because people know when you tie strings to them. You may not say it, but they feel like, they're trying to string me. They're trying to obligate me. They're trying to do something. You know, and some people just do it. They don't even realize they're doing it. But what was showing me about you, that spirit of giving, was you don't tie strings to people. You give, you know, you give your information and trust God with it. And because of that, God's really going to bless you for that. And then you came on, and I didn't know that about your boss. You said your boss was very much of a giver and very much, very helpful in the car business and very, you know, has a reputation. And it just blew my mind. It just literally blew my mind when you told me that and how precious the Word of God is, how precious the Word of God is. And I break the drought off and use off of the car dealership realm with Angela and her boss and those things going on. I just think, Lord, that the drought is broken. It's not going to be broken. It is broken in Jesus' name. And I loosen that, because when he blessed the bread and broke it, I think that's why the Holy Spirit wanted to give you that word. I didn't know. the Holy Spirit said, you know, take that scripture and just, you know, activate it in the atmosphere around there. And she said, that's amazing. She said, I did it. I did what you said. And then the phone call came right after that. And it just, you know, things, you know, like the lady wanting a car that they don't get those cars in anymore. It lo and behold, it happened. I didn't even know that. That was new. That was a new thing. She didn't tell me that yet. That's so cool. So the signs of God, I'm telling you, I feel like something in the atmosphere has broken. And, you know, and so cause I hear the words coming out of my own mouth going, God, what are you doing with this? This is amazing, like with Chris and, you know, everybody. But it's just amazing, that word with you, Angela. So powerful, so precious, so, my gosh, amazing. And we thank you, Jesus, that you show her how to keep breaking the bread, blessing the bread, breaking it and giving it her time, giving it away. Because that whole teaching is about, he gave it away. He didn't sell it. He didn't think of an offering. Okay, I got some bread here. Come get it. It's going to be half price, but it's going to cost it. Now he gave it away. Jesus had such a spirit of giving things. He didn't tie strings to people. You know, are you kidding me? You know, they didn't have to come back and thank him. But once it did, he said, man, where are the rest of the guys? The lepers, remember that? And he said, where are the rest of the guys? He didn't tell them they had to come back. He just it was so thankful that the one did. When you see the spirit of Jesus the way he really is, when we start seeing that Jesus the way he really is, I'm telling you, friend, it changes your whole life. That's what the revelation of Christ is. Is God showing us, showing you, Angela, showing me what he's really like, how he really deals with things when we fail, how compassionate and kind he is and loving and gentle and just so restorative, so wipe that away from your life forever, just as though you never did it. I mean, oh, my God. And I mean, and literally do that. It's amazing. All right. God bless you, Angela. Thank you so much. All right. 202-722,
who am I talking to? Hey, Randy, it's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
Amen, and Nicole's going to be breaking bread with us. I keep talking about it because I'm feeling like I put an advertising out there on that, but letting everybody know that she's going to be talking about the Book of Revelation. It'll be really cool. On Sunday morning, or Sunday around noon, with different time zones, it'll be different, but we'll let you know about that, and it's going to be in December. I think this about the middle to end of December, and gonna be exciting. So she's gonna be talking about breaking bread, you know. And so, you know, I know it sounds, I'm just on a vein here, so I gotta just give what God said. There's somebody right now. Hang on a second. Somebody is being touched in their left hip. You know, I've had troubles in my left hip before, but it's not me. If somebody's being touched. I feel the fire of God in their left hip, their hip bone, their hip, maybe a nerve or something being touched with somebody. I don't know who that is exactly, but God's touching somebody right now, their left hip, somebody's being healed. Feel the fire of God, you know, like doing something in a nerve or doing something with a joint, doing something with that bone, something with that muscle, nerve, the whole thing. In the name of Jesus, be made whole in Jesus' name. Wow. And if I'm getting that for you, my sister, Nicole, is that healing anointing. Oh, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, heals me everywhere I go, or uses me for healing everywhere I go. Wow, that's a little song. A little bit extra put in there, like, you know, it's not the real verse, but Jesus is adding to you. Yeah, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. The sweetest name. When I got saved, Nicole, that song was what they played in the Baptist church I went to. And, you know, I just love this. I don't know. It's an old song. It's not even really all that great. I would sing that. Sweetest name I know, because Jesus became sweet to me, literally. And I remember singing that song with all my heart, going, God, if I'd have known you were like this, I would have asked you into my life a long time. And I was only 20. And I'd have asked you into my life a long time ago, because you are the sweetest name I know. Oh, his name was sweet. Sweet Jesus, the sweetness of Jesus brings healing. The bitter pain, bitter disease, bitter, the bitterness of life. The sweetness of Jesus heals that. And I see this going on with you, like when Moses had the bitter water in the wilderness, and he took the tree and put the wood in the water. And I don't know if that was just a natural thing that fixed it or supernatural. I don't know what it was, maybe both. But healing, healing, you know, breaking the bread of healing. Wow, that's awesome. So as you're breaking the bread and getting ready to break the bread with PGN, PGN's family, God gives you the grace to do that, that as God permits and God opens it up, you know, you're going to find people that's like, man, I feel like something touched me. I feel like something, you know, I'm being healed or something's happening to my leg, to my toe, to my eye, to my brain, you know, and you're going to start seeing that happen. Amen? In Jesus' name. Wow, that is awesome. And I want to take some of that, too. Since I'm giving the word, I should be able to share some of that, right? Yeah, I want to share in that one. Whoa, that's awesome. Breaking the bread. Bread of healing. The bread of healing. Whoa, Jesus. Isha ko pahawa. Tende ukwamalo hoche pahawa. Go get ready, man. I feel that strong. Something about that. Yeah. All right. 205. 690, who am I talking to real quickly?
Hey, Brother Randy, this is Danette from Alabama.
Hi, Danette. Nice to have you, Danette. All right, good to have you. All right, thank you very much. All right, Danette. All right, thank you, Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I just see the Lord covering you, going, Danette, you know, I'm covering you, I'm protecting you. I'm your daddy, I'm your friend, I'm your protector, I'm your warrior, I'm like your bodyguard, the most kind, loving bodyguard you've ever had in your life. You've probably never had a bodyguard. I've never had a bodyguard, but never needed one, but maybe one of these days. But, yeah, I see God really just like saying, I'm covering you. Like when you come short on something and you don't, you're not able, you're trying to learn something and you're having a hard time learning about it, or you're not able to do what you feel like you need to be doing, you know, and like you're coming up short. It's like, you know, like God, you know, there's a lot of things in my life I come up short in, and I'm going to have to depend on the grace of God to merit it and do their favor. And that way I see God covering you, like saying, you know, yeah, you come up short of it because, you know, you compare yourself to other people. Sometimes you compare yourself to other people. And God says, you know, try not to do that because that's going to cause you problems. God is going to show you that the gift he's giving you is him. And the gift that you have that is him is going to, you know, show you, you know, how to not compare yourself with other people and know that when you compare yourself, anything, compare yourself to God. And since God's with you and in you and on your side, it's like you don't have to compare yourself, you know, wouldn't it? Because you got God inside you. And God's really going to open you up to that realm of covering you and letting you know that, man, when you don't got it, I got it for you. When you can't make it quite like you think you should, I'll do that exceeding abundantly. Look, but I'm covering you. I'm going to cover you. I'm covering you. Ruth went to Boaz and covered his feet. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with that story, but I don't even really know what that means exactly. But the covering, he connected him. And he let it happen, you know. And she covered his feet and covered her. I think she covered herself too. But something went on with that, and they got married. They got connected. Got married, and the blessing of God. Because he had money. He had, you know, he had stuff. He had provision, and she, you know, loved him and married him for him. And he had compassion on her, and he went and made sure that he was able to, you know, I think he had to go to the next of kin or something and see if the next of kin wanted her. If he didn't want her, which was what he was hoping for, that he could take her, you know, like, oh, I really like this girl. And so she was a servant. God's going to show you the servant part of you, that the servant part of you is what allows God to come in and cover over you. You know, in other words, when we're serving, we may feel be less than other people as far as intellectually or, you know, spiritual giftings or money or whatever the thing is. But because we're serving, what are we serving? You're serving God, and God's serving through you. And when God comes on the scene, there ain't nothing above him. There ain't nothing he can't do. Yeah, covering you where you're weak, he's strong. Amen. And letting you know, hey, I'm with you here. Come up short or something. No worries. about it. You know, if I tell you to do something, do it. Don't worry about coming short. Don't worry about whether you think you got it all or not. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't know intellect. I don't know, you know, I don't have the right car. I don't have the right vehicle. I don't ride anything. It's God's covering you, unmerited, undeserved favor. Amen. I'm covering you and making up where you come up short, whether it's money or whatever it is. All right, 610-969.
Hello.
Yes, can we talk to you?
Oh, hi, Prophet Randy. Shalom. This is Lisa from PA.
Lisa, all right, Lisa. All right, good to have you,
thank
Lisa.
You.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Lisa. God, I thank you, Lord, for that. We're in a flow tonight. We're in a flow tonight. There's something about the hand of God on you, that about the grace of God and the unmerited heart of God. And, you know, because people are always saying how short we come, you know, I think. And, you know, people really compare themselves with other people. I know I do it. We all do it. If we're not careful, we'll do it and don't even realize we're doing it. And so we compare ourselves and then we find ourselves like not able to, you know, feel worthy that we can do it. And so God it starts working that grace in us and open us up to the grace of God where, oh, I don't feel worthy because I don't think I have the gift, that gift. I don't have the gift of miracles. I don't have the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of whatever the gift is. And that, so as God, as becoming all things to all people, you have to, you know, walk in that realm of grace to where, you know, it's not about whether you have a gift or not. It's more about, okay. It's more about knowing that unmerited, undeserved favor, that whatever gift it is that you need, that you don't flow in all the time, that God's going to manifest it. So you say, well, yeah, I'm not going to not pray for that person or something. I'm going to pray for them anyway because, you know, God will do it through me. I don't have to get brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so to come pray. No, I'm going to pray. And, you know, and so there's going to be times where you're not going to be able to, like, connect with somebody or call somebody or get somebody on the line to prophesy over somebody. You're going to prophesy over, right? You're going to flow in that. God's going to open you up to that. And the grace of God in the area of the gifts of the Spirit, right, are going to, you know, be able to intervene in situations and God be able to do it, you know, knowing that, you know, no, I don't think I've ever seen that kind of miracle, that kind of thing going on. I don't know if I got faith for that. Oh, yeah, the Lord's going to go, yeah, don't even go there. Because my unmerited favor is opening you up to that when you need it. It's not like you're going to have it all the time, but when you need it, it's going to be there so that you don't limit yourself to taking the limits off you, Lisa, where you don't say, well, yeah, I better call the woman of God over here as a miracle minister for it. Get her on the phone, get her to pray. No, I'm going to do it, you know, because I realize that, you know, it's really about God's love, how God loves people. And because of his love is what is connects us to all the gifts of every kind of, everything that we need that we don't normally flow in. Like, I don't flow in the gift of miracles all the time. I float in them a little bit here and there over the year. But, you know, somebody needs a miracle. I just, I know somebody that flows a miracle. Let me get them on the phone. You know, and the Lord says, no. You know, yeah, it may not be the thing you flow in all the time, but when you need it, my love, because you walk in love will activate those gifts, those miracles, those things that are needed, amen, in Jesus' name, and bring you, you know, where you feel like not less than because you don't have that particular gift, somebody else does. Now, you have a lot of great gifts, but you don't have that particular one. So God said, you know, just trust me and let love flow. And when love flows, love activates the unlimited realm. God's really trying to bring you into that unlimited realm where, you know, and really it's all by grace. It's all unmerited, undeserved favor. It's all unlimited, the unlimited and the unmerited and undeserved favor realm. It's all the same basic thing, unlimited, unmerited. You know, in other words, you don't have to perform everything just right to get it. It's given to you because of the love of God, the grace of God. Open that up, God. In Jesus' name, break everything off, or every weapon that formed against her in Jesus' name, feeling like she has to measure up to and do all these things. God, we just thank you, Jesus, that for your grace, it's your sufficiency in Jesus' name, and no weapon formed against her will prosper. Every time the rise against the judgment, she condemns it. Those words that come, they try to make us feel like we don't have the grace for that. Well, grace is, God's grace is grace for all things. God's love is, when you walk in love, the love realm unlocks every possibility. It can be all things to all people. Amen? Yeah. All right, 847-505. Wait a second. 847-505. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hello, Prophet Randy. This is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you tonight. All right. Here we go. Amen, Marja. Thank you, Marja. All right, Jesus' name, I condemn every tongue. I condemn every tongue. The tongues that talk to you from your own tongue, the tongues that talk to you from other people, the things that people project on us, you know, like, you know, making us feel less than, making us feel whatever, those tongues in Jesus' name, I condemn those tongues, Marja, in Jesus' name, that, you know, God has called you, he's chosen you, and to know that he's called and chosen you, it doesn't, nothing else matters. And because God's called you and chose you, that it's not because, you know, you loved him first, it's because he loved you first. And God's showing you about the first love that we live in is the fact that he loved us first. You know, it's not about how much I love him first, it's the fact that he loved you first. And right, and his love for you, Marja, is unlocking that thing of first love, where you walk in the first love. Everything when they came out of Egypt was about the first. You know, from now on, give the first of your fruit, first fruits to God. First fruits. Putting God first. And God's showing you how, through the love of God, through letting God love you, and knowing that it's his love that you love with. It's not even your love. All you do with your love, or as you know, you heard her talk about this, I'm sure, with all your love, you love the Lord thy God. And when you have that, then God gives you his love. And see, like, when people give God only 20% of their love and give the rest of it to people, their family, and different things, they divide it up, then they only get 20% of God's love. But when you give God all your love, he gives you all of his love. And I feel that going on with you. And God loving you and moving you into that place to where, you know, you realize that you can't love without his love. Because your love is the respect of persons. You'll love your family more than you'll love somebody who's not your family, who you don't even know. You'll favor them. But Jesus said, my mothers and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it, and walk in that do realm. God empowering you by his love to walk in the doing realm. Not just the talking about it realm, but the doing realm. You know, there's a time to talk about things. There's a time to, you know, take God's word and speak it and that kind of thing. But then there comes the time of doing. And you are a doer. And God has opened up the doing realm, and it's all really from the first love realm. The first love. God, show me your first love. And he's going to say, it's not about how much you love me first. It's how much the Bible says, God loves us first. That's what we love with. And that way your love will never run dry, not ever, Marja, not ever, 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 ever run dry. I see you singing songs in the spirit of love. I see you, you know, humming and hearing God and hearing about God's love, feeling God's love. And Jesus, open up the rivers of God's love in Jesus' name, and Marja, God, so she can walk in that first love. Would you walk in first love? Everything, God is first, right? Yeah, so in Jesus' name, open that up, God, and bless her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. First lover, that's pretty cool. All right, 573-838, you want to talk to me real quick, please? All right, 573-838.
Hey, Randy. My name is Janiqua, and I am from Paxton, Missouri.
Janiqua?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Shaniqua. Thank you, Shaniqua. All right, thank you very much. All right. Shaniqua, let's pray for you. And hang on a second here. Thank you. Shaniqua. All right. Not the best way to write somebody's name down is to speak it into your phone. Just let the phone spell it for you. Yeehaw! Thank you, God. That's amazing. Okay, Shaniqua. It's amazing that I said that because it made me think that God giving you the ability to spell out things for people, like to explain things. God's giving you the spirit of wisdom and the kind of a teaching thing where you're able to explain things in ways. Some people just have a gift where they can explain things. And once I get something, I can explain it. But until I get it, it's like, forget it. You know, I'm not going to be able to get it to you. Get somebody who understands it. I mean, I can kind of tell you, but so I see God really opening you up to being able to spell things out for people, make it simple, make it plain. And communication, where people know that you're a communicator, you can communicate, correctly and get the point across. Sometimes it's not about how much you say, but the way you say it, and God opening up the way to say things. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and giving you the way into the truth, and where the life is found, the way, the truth, and the life of Christ. So it's going to be a theme for you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I think that's the missing word of that. Way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. Yeah. And so God's showing you how to access things, because no one comes to him except through Christ. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And God's showing you, Shaniqua, how to access things. That's like Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. He said, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, you know, we know the way, the truth, and life is important. In order to get God's way, you know, he shows you the truth. And when you get the truth, it opens you up to the life of a thing. And so, you know, God's showing you how to find entrance into things, how to find entrance into pleasing him, how to find entrance into, you know, favor with God, how to find entrance, you know, how to find that through Jesus Christ. And God giving you favor, God showing you how to access that favor, God showing you how to, you know, through the truths. He's going to show you truths. There's a teacher in you to be able to communicate truth, to be able to make things clear and plain. God's going to make them clear and plain to you so you can share them with others. And sometimes your language is going to be very simple. You're going to say, well, Master so-and-so over there, professor, made it so it was very complicated, but it's very powerful. But, yeah, when she tells you, when Shaniqua tells you, it's kind of like, wow, it's like simple, but I got it, you know. So, so I thank you, Jesus, for Shaniqua. God, open up her to the way to access the heavenly, the way into the access of the Holy of Holies, to the way. Jesus Christ is the way. He's going to show you that he's the way. It's not about doctrine. It's not about doctrine. It's all been important for it. But Jesus is the way. Not just information. Jesus himself is your way. He is your truth. And when you see Jesus, you're going to see, you know, truth. You're going to know what real truth is. And when you see it, you're going to be able to explain it to you. It's going to be so simple, so pure, so beautiful that people will go, wow, that's awesome. When you said it, it's like, you know, cool, really amazing. And so God opened you up to that realm of the way, the truth, and the life to get access into the heavenlies, get access into having your prayers answered. And then that Jesus is, you know, and when you see Jesus, when God reveals truth to you, when you see truth, you're going to see Jesus. You're not going to see it as some doctrine or whatever. You're going to see that's Jesus. That's my Jesus. He really loves me. He really cares for me. He really, you know, has affection for me. He really laid his life down for me.
and Jesus did that for me, and therefore, you know, I through that understanding of him, I have access to him and to his ways and who he is and to the life of God. And God's going to use you, Shaniqua, to swallow up death with, you know, the ways of life, swallow up death, dealing with death and harm that comes on people's death, the spirit of death that would come and try to take people out. God using you to open you up to that, to conquer death in many different fashions and forms. The fear of death, the death of sickness and disease, the death of the emotions, the mind, the will, all that kind of thing. All right, 402-214. You want to talk to your friend, please? All right, 402-214. Echo 402-214. All right, that's Sharon from New York, for sure. All right, because she texted me earlier. All right, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. All right. Yeah, that whole realm of sharing of sharing life, God, where you know, breaking that bread, how to, you know, enter into that faithful where Jesus, you know, when he broke the bread, he gave thanks. Jesus was always thankful, even when he was being persecuted. His thankfulness keeps you clean from unforgiveness. It keeps you clean, you know, keeps you clean from being mad at God. You know, like we talked tonight about the unfair thing. You know, that happens to us. Everybody I know goes through the unfair thing. And, you know, you go through that, you know, as Sharon, you're going to go through that unfair stuff. You guys really going to open up to you, you know, that thing. Because Joseph went through the unfair thing. You know, Christ went through a lot of things that happened. Jesus was unfair. That's why I said, Father, you know, why have you forsaken me? You know, it just was unfair what was going on. He hadn't done anything wrong. Yet he knew he was offering his life, but at the same time, it was totally unjust. All the disciples said, this is unfair. He hadn't done anything wrong. All he did was heal people, help people. But Jesus, the thankful spirit that Jesus had of thankfulness is what got him into the blessing of multiplication of, you know, learning how to multiply what little bit you get, getting the blessing of multiplication in everything, your finances, your life, your peace, your prosperity, your love, your affection for other people, your favor, all that, how to, you know, take what God's given you, bless it, break it, and give it. And give it, and give it, and give it, and give it. It's about giving, not about obligating people. You owe me, you know, you owe me, you know. It's you know, the unfair thing and the you owe me thing. It's something God's doing with the body of Christ right now, big time. You know, it's not you owe me. It's like, you know, parable I used the other night that God gave me about when the vineyard owner paid the guys who only worked a couple hours more, as much as he paid the ones who benefited all day long in the heat. You know, they got mad and said, well, you know, you owe us, you know, I mean, we've been working all day long. This is unfair. And it was unfair in a sense, but he says, you know, who are you to tell me what to do with my money? You know? He said, if I want to be generous, I'll be generous. And so, you know, that whole realm of that, and God showed us to break up that bitterness, the unfair thing, that you owe me thing, you know, and the obligation, because when people hear our voice, when they hear my voice, and I'm obligating them, and I'm putting, you know, you owe me, you know, I've been good to you, you owe me. I just dealt with that recently, with some unforgiveness towards some people that we met in the studio. I thought I talked about this publicly. You know, it caught me off guard, you know, and I was so kind to them, so nice to them, so generous to them, and then they ripped me off with this, you know, with an iPad, about $400, $500 item, but brand new. I just got it, you know, and that's all. And the enemy tried to use that on me, like, look what I did for you, and look what you did to me, you know. It was just like, it really snuck up and tried to take me out, Sharon. I mean, literally, it was like, I thought it was fun, and I'm pretty much over now, I think, pretty much. Maybe that's my blessing. I don't know. Pretty much got through it. It snuck in there, started making me a little bit, you know, whatever, angry, and the more I thought about it, the madder I got. Like, and I couldn't stop. Finally, I said, what am I doing? And it stuck up on me. I said, Jesus, save me. Deliver me. I forgive. And it took a little while to forgive him. I don't know why. Maybe because that whole thing we're talking about you owe me, look what I did for you, and you did for me to do nothing for me. you know, and like God says, you know, that you need to break the spirit of unfairness, and you owe me. I went, okay, Jesus, help me with that, God. And so he did, and it's amazing. I entered into a piece of place of joy and peace. 919-801, you want to talk to me real quick, please? All right, 919-801, are you there? Okay, hang on a second here. Okay, Jesus. Hot 919. I don't know who this is exactly, but 919-801. Are you there? All right, 919. I don't know who this is, but thank you, Lord, for 919. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of that disasters and curses and things that go wrong, things that seem to develop and like to get out of control. It seems like we do anything about them. I see God really showing you how to. The things that you can sometimes, you know, you walk on that storm of those things doing that because the storm was getting closer and closer and closer, and like there wasn't anything they could do about it. You know, it's like bigger than them. Peter knew that when the storm comes, man, if you know, you just don't go, you know, spit in the wind, it goes away. You know, you don't just say, Jesus, name be gone. It has to be the authority of Christ. It's bigger than you. So those things that are bigger than you, God's going to show you, you know, the things that get stirred up. Sometimes we spend our time trying to stop the storm, and God says, I want you to walk on it. I want you to learn from it. I'm going to show you how to walk in the realm of getting information about how to disarm the stuff, how to, you know, destroy it with, you know, as you walk through it, walk in the power of God with it, and God, you know, showing you how to, not get distracted with it. Sometimes the thing that God wants us to learn is how to not get distracted with the storms. You know, but the big thing, when Peter got distracted, he started sinking. So every time we get distracted, we start sinking. You know, we get our mind more on that. I can witness to that. Recently, I've been doing a real battle, you know, bigger than I've been through in a while. Finally got it. I went, oh, my gosh, you know, I took authority over it the right way, the way God showed me how to do it, and it just wins every time. But, you know, but at the same time, I'm learning how to, you know, seek the Lord and walk on the storm, knowing it's out of my control. Not really I can do anything I can do about it. It's going to take a miracle of God. So I just walk on the storm instead of hiding out. I walk on it. I get out and walk on it and say, Jesus, you know, because it teaches me how to keep myself focused on him, my eyes focused on Jesus, instead of the rumbling and the roaring of all the stuff trying to distract me. That's what the enemy's strategy is with storms and battles, is to get us distracted so that we focus more of our time on rebuking the storm than we do keeping our eyes on Jesus. And so God opened you up to that, showing you how to focus on the Lord and not paying attention to it, knowing that it's there, but not paying attention to it, not letting it take your attention away from the things God wants you to focus on. Amen. In Jesus' name, God empowering you and strengthening you to do that. All right, 469-553. You want to talk to me real quick, please?
Hi, Prophet. This is Barbara from Texas.
Oh, hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara, good to have you tonight. All right, Barbara. Thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. Thank you, Father, for that healing virtue, Father. In Jesus' name. I see, you know, there's something going on with healing the things of the past, with generational things, with things that have gone on in families, things that have gone on in churches, things that have gone on with people that are just, you can see it's just generational. It's like, you know, they fall prey to it. It's like they can't help it. And healing that,
and you know, what do they call that? Do it from the scripture. Oh man, I can't think of the name, what that's called. You know, like the old, the things that are genetic, you know, and I'm not saying the word right, but restoring the path, you know, of the past. Like people having, you know, like once something gets stuck in their past, it just seems like it never goes away. And being able to bring healing to that, where there's a breach, healing the breaches. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I wonder if I find that. I think it's important. Okay. Restoring the path. Isaiah 14:4 and so on. I will heal their breaches. I will love them freely. For my wrath is turned away from them. I will be as the dew. Israel shall spring as the lily, and his root shall shout forth as that of the branches shall spread. His glory shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as that of Lebanon. I think it's Lebanon. And they shall be converted that sit under his shadow. They shall live on wheat, and they shall blossom as a vine. His memorial shall be as the wine of Lebanon. I don't have a clue. That's Hosea 14, chapter 14, verse 4 through 7. And so there's something about the inheritance things that have been breaches, the broken paths to dwell in, all of those paths that are broken, to be healed and restored, the restoration of generation. I don't know why that's in you, that's on you, something God's going to do something with that, to speak healing to that, to restore those things. The paths of generation, that they will walk in the path of God and get free of the traditions and all the things that have gotten them veered off and limited them to, you know, not walking in the full inheritance of God, but walking in the full inheritance of God. Lord, I loosen that anointing on my sister, God. Let it increase, let it multiply, God, in Jesus' name. And so she will be able to, you know, heal those things, bring healing to those things, break the power of division and strife that's going on in the religious realm of people and their inheritance, and bring forth a relationship with Jesus. Amen. And break the traditions of men, which nullify the power of God, and bring the restoration of the power of God in people's lives to get right with each other. Break forth that bitter rebellion and division that goes on in families, in Jesus' name, and bring forth healing and wholeness, God, and in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I still didn't think of the name of that scripture, but I'll get it. If I do, I'll text it to you. Barbara, sorry, but I think maybe you might have gotten that. Something about the pathways of the old, you know, restoring them. Yeah, something about that. And God's doing it with you, you know, and using you to do that with other people. So this is really cool. All right, 850-491. You want to talk to me from, please? 850-491.
650-491. Are you there? Donna from Florida?
Yes, from Florida. Yes, sir.
All right, Donna, good to have you. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for Donna, God. In Jesus' name, raising up the foundations. There's foundations that have been demolished. There's foundations that have been, and God is building, is recovering the foundations. None of the things that people stand upon. If you don't have a good foundation, it doesn't matter what you build on it, it'll always fall apart, it'll always be broken down. And God says, I'm restoring the things, the cankerworm, the fungworm has eaten and destroyed, especially in the foundational areas, the foundations, and God restoring foundations. In other words, the things that so people can build their lives. Like what God's doing right now is he's opening up, you know, in this era that we're in, and that began with the Biden thing. You know, God is going to let the Antichrist thing do his thing because it's time to do it, and he's going to let the Christians do their thing with God, which is time to do that too, and to restore that. So it's almost like, you know, the foundation we're building upon is on the apostles and prophets, and God opening up to you the prophet and apostle realm, so the things that are built upon the apostles and the prophets, so the things that they got, you know, to the original foundation that the apostles and prophets built, that they laid by God. Very, very important. But Christ is the chief cornerstone. Christ himself. So restoring foundations, and so that when we build that no matter how tall or big or whatever it gets, that we won't become arrogant, we won't become conceited, we won't become like, oh, look what I got, because our foundation will be right. You know, we know who did it. We know who's going to do it. And we stay solid in him. We stay knowing that he's our source, that he's the one, because what the enemy does with people is that, you know, we start getting blessed, and then we, you know, don't realize it. We don't never do realize it. The enemy blinds us so well, he's so good at it, that we don't see that we're entering into, you know, self-confidence. And, you know, and I've done it. I mean, we've all done it. I think we've all done it. I think most people have done it. And we have to catch ourselves with. That's why I take communion on a regular basis. God, keep me humble, keep me broken, keep me yielded to you, and keep me on the foundation of Christ so that when the storm rages, we're not going to sink. And this whole thing about the storms raging, the storms coming, those that are on the foundation are going to stand. Those that are not are going to get blown away, and they're going to sink into the sinking sand. And we're going to see that. It's going to happen. So God is showing you how to stand on the solid rock of Christ Jesus. It's the person of Christ. It's not about, you know, the doctrine. It's not about the things, you know, what we believe is important, as you know, the doctrine that we believe are important. But if our doctrines are not Christ himself, and we stand upon Christ and knowing him and fellowship with him, that does away with a lot of it. Because one of the things God's going to do is the people that are not on the foundation, they're going to be blown away. And in a sense, that's going to be God, you know, moving them out of the way, you know, because they're in the way. Sometimes you get in the way and they mess up stuff and they, you know. So you end up with people that are on the solid rock. And then you can take two or three, you know, and build upon a solid rock, whatever God wants to build. So that's important. That's really going to open you up to that revelation about that in Jesus' name and reveal that, sometimes we can't start building it. It can't really start prospering and building until that foundation is solid and the people that are there and the solid foundation are there. And then when that's there, you know, because God uses people. It's like Christ is the cornerstone of the foundation. People that God brings in our life, like the apostles and the prophets, you know, they're part of the foundation. And when they're there, then you can build upon that. That's God gives. All right. 850-966, I think. 850-966. Can I talk to you from there? Oops, I think that is lost. 850-966. Maybe they'll call back in. If you can get them to call back in, I'll wait. You might have accidentally hung this up. 850-966. Okay, okay.
right, so let's just, you know, call it back in, I would think. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to have to move on. If you call in, I'll get you. All right, 265-454, can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Karen from Louisiana.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
All right. Good to have you. All right. Very good to have you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for the river of faith. God, you got a river of faith in you, girl. God's unlocking the river of faith. Faith is relationship with Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And you know, when our faith becomes something other than relationship with Jesus, then what happens is that we get off. There you are, 85096. I'll catch you next. All right. So Karen, so you know, you have that river of faith in you. God is, God. It's like when Abraham, you know, dug wells. Usually, when you dig a well, you tap into a river underground, right? Flowing underground, and that well becomes a place where people come drink and get life and get healed and get whatever they need. So I see God. You know, and then his enemies would come and put rocks in them to stop it from being used. So I see God taking the rocks out, taking the thing, and clearing the way, and letting that fresh river of faith in you, your relationship with Jesus just soaring with God, you know, soaring with the Lord, and catching that place of faith where you know he's with you. You know that he's there. It's not necessarily always feeling, but it's just a knowing thing. The knowing realm is much more powerful than anything that we know. The knowing. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And another, you know, they won't follow. And so God really showing you how to walk into that knowing realm and just knowing. And like I said, some people, they think they've got to experience the anointing before they know God's with them. But Karen, there's this whole thing about the faith in you is so strong, so wonderful, so powerful, that it's just that flow underneath there. Even though you can't really see it, you know, it's flow. It's like the when they tap into a well, they tap into rivers underneath the ground, right? And they put their bucket in there and they pull out water, but it's always flowing. And so you can't really see it. It's not really you don't really feel it when you go. You don't feel the water when you walk by like you would on a river or something. But it's there and it's deep. And God's unfogging that river just flows through you. The river of faith, relationship with Jesus. River of faith, relationship with Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is my lover. I'm my love. He's my love. He's my love. He's my love. And love, in that river, in the love of God, and faith, just staying alive. And love feeding your faith. God's going to use love to feed your faith. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. It's a love that's going to feed your faith and cause you to be able to walk on storms and walk on things and see, you know, see God do things. Relationship wise and bring miracles for you in the way that you can believe for them, that you can know. You know, because God's going to do miracles. God does miracles in a lot of different ways. Sometimes he does the natural realm. You know, I've had God told me I had arthritis so bad in my hand, and the Lord said, you're struggling. You're eating too much salsa. So I quit eating salsa. So I ate a little bit of it, not much. Not too much of it. And when I did, my arthritis went away, right? And then I've had natural miracles like that from God speaking to me naturally because my faith is alive. My faith is like, God's able to just say, hey, Randy, it's not just the name of Jesus only, you know, there's some things you got to quit eating. It's messing with your body. And I, because I have a faithful, that relationship with him, my faith is strong and it's flowing in me deep in my soul, deep in my spirit. He can speak to me about that. He said, hey, just quit doing that. You'll be fine. Well, oh, okay, cool. And it actually works. And then other times, you know, I get healing other ways. And sometimes it's about focusing on him. And so God really opened you up for that place of focusing on Jesus and keeping your faith alive. I mean, really keeping it alive and walking in that. Amen. All right, I'm getting lost. That's not where I was. Okay, 850-966. I got you. All right, 950-966. I got you. You got back in there.
Yes, I did. I don't know how the phone got hung up. But I'm Nicole from Louisiana.
Hi, Nicole.
from Louisiana. Good to have you, Nicole. All right, I saw you and I paid attention. I saw you get called back in, so thank you for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole. We thank you, Jesus, for the heart you've given her to deal with anger, the anger that people have, the anger that things go, and God showing you how to deal with anger. You know, there's a righteous anger that sometimes the greatest warriors in the spirit of God have a righteous anger toward things, you know, and yet, you know, so people don't understand that. Why does God get angry? If he's God, why would he ever get angry? Because that's sometimes how he deals with things. And so the anger of God in us is like because something's, you know, not working right, something's not happening. But what happens? The anger of God rises up in you. You have to realize it's the anger of God. Now, we have our own anger. Everybody gets angry about stuff. We get frustrated. We get angry. We have bad days, that kind of thing. But God's going to show you, Nicole, the difference between your anger, your frustration that we all have, and the anger of God that's rising up. Because that anger becomes the power to, you know, deal with the thing. Like when God finally got angry at something, man, when he poured out his wrath on something, it's like, ooh, it was like rough. But that's how, that's the spirit of, and the power that was in that was his anger. When God gets angry, there's a righteous cause for that. There's a righteous reason for that. Sometimes anger rises up because, you know, we get so lukewarm about it. Okay, well, I guess I'll just keep hanging in there. The Lord gets angry inside of us and goes, what are you doing? Stand up and then find the devil or whatever, you know, whatever the thing is. You get angry about it. And you find yourself going, my gosh, what is that? And so the passion with that when you pray, the passion is in the anger of God says, you know, I've had enough of this. No more lukewarmness, you know, and you start feeling that passion of Jesus. And the passion of the Lord rises up within you, Nicole, to you know, pray. When you pray in anger, you know, not your own anger, but God's anger. Like, God, yeah. I've seen myself do that, Nicole, many times. Sometimes I pray just simple, kind, laid back, peaceful thing, and other times it's like I feel an anger rising in me, like a frustration like that, you know, I've had enough of this. You know, and what is that? Sometimes that's God saying, you know, Paul the Apostle. If you look at Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, he was out evangelizing. He was walking along from city to city, and he walked along through there. And some lady who was of the devil, really, was saying, listen to this man. He's a man of God. And he followed him wherever he went. And after a while, he kind of got impatient. He turned around in anger. You know, he got frustrated with her, and he knew it was the devil. He's going like, but God built it, and pretty soon he turned around in that holy anger, and he says, come out of her, devil. And, brother, it came out, you know. Yeah. So seeing how God deals with things, it's not always like, I feel so peaceful. Don't you go away, little demon. Oh, yeah. You know, no, it's like in the name of Jesus. And even sometimes the anger can be very quick and very sharp. And powerful, you know. So it's like love is powerful. God hates evil, the perfect hatred. And people don't realize that. He hates evil. He loves people, all people. He loves all people. But he hates evil. He hates it. And as we get a hatred for evil and an anger for those things that God wants to be angry about, deal with it, then it changes everything. Changes everything. All right. Did I talk to 903-918? Did I already talk to you?
No, this is Michelle from Texas.
Oh, hey, Michelle. All right. All right, Michelle, good to have you. Right, let's go here and see you. Okay. It's 903. All right, Michelle, thank you, Jesus, for Michelle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that resurrection power, God, resurrecting thing. I feel like God's going to show you resurrection is like, you know, resurrection power is God showing that though men may crucify us, so to speak, they may take us down, they may speak evil about us, they may try to hurt our reputation, hurt our feelings, hurt our whatever, but when the resurrection of Christ, and I see this in my life, you know, more and more all the time, people who are bigger and badder than me and have more money than I do, trying to, you know, don't like the fact that, you know, I prophesied this, prophesied that, and they come after me. It's like God allows, he stirs it up sometimes just so he can show that his resurrection power just walks right through those walls. It isn't even meant, like they can't even, they can't harm you. They can't touch you. They can try. Sometimes God will stir up things against you just to show you I'm with you and to show you that, you know, just know that I'm God. You know, being still and knowing that I'm God. Sometimes it's because God says, you know, the enemy tries to get us in the fight. Well, we fight the fight instead of Christ fighting through it. Sometimes fighting the fight is doing nothing. You know, God says, stand still. That's the fight. How can you fight and stand still? Because that's what God says, right? He says, stand still and see the salvation. And watch me protect you among people that are stronger than you, bigger than you, smarter than you, but, you know, whatever the thing is. And God loves sometimes to show off his power by letting people exert their strength and their whatever they think they got going on. And then God just kind of comes through and goes, resurrection. The resurrection of Christ. They crucified him. They actually, you know, God allowed it, but they put him to death. And but yet, even then, when he rose from the dead 3 days later, it's like that was a proof of, you know, look what all the whole world did. They crucified the Son of God, basically. You know, Rome and Israel and people. And, you know, so when he rose from the dead, it's like, you can't stop. You can't stop. So I see God really putting that in your spirit, that nothing can stop you when you fight the fight that God fights. If God says stand still and you stand still, he's going to win. Well, I'm not really doing anything. You know, doing is doing what he says, right? Yeah, that's the thing. Do what he says. When I do what he says, you know, he does what he does, and it's amazing to watch. If he goes out there and says, swing your sword around, then swing your sword around. He says, be still enough, then it's what God says, you know. And sometimes you see all these different ways in the Bible that people won victories in the Old Testament. Sometimes they would get the musicians out in front, not the military people, the musicians. Get the rock band going. God, Jesus, yeah. And that won the battle, you know. Other times it was, David got his sword, and he went out with his men, and they killed Philistines with the sword. You know, God was with him in that way. So you never know what it's going to be, but the big thing is doing what God says. So learning how to do that is really my greatest. The greatest victories I have is when I start learning how to do that. I think God has a strategy for everything. God says, no, my strategy is everything's a little different. I want to deal with things a little bit differently. So just do what I say. Right? All right. Straight and narrow path, like I talked about last night, is doing what he says, not doing everything perfectly. And I do it perfect, then I'm straight and narrow. It's about doing what he says, walking in his victory. All right. Martine, she says she wasn't able to call in. Martine, I guess you're still on there. Martine from California. Thank you, Jesus, for Martine. Father, thank you for giving her the courage to stand. To stand still and see the salvation of God. Give her the courage, God, to stand still and see the salvation. I just kind of gave that word to whoever that was. Michelle, thanks. Stand still and see the salvation. Give her the strength and the courage, because it takes courage. It took more courage for them to stand the band out, you know, to get in front of the army. They could have killed the army in 5 seconds, but there was something about that just overpowered them. And so, you know, and then the time that, you know, Joshua had him walk around Jericho. I mean, walk around Jericho, not saying anything, and then for the last time they shouted or played the, didn't the band play? Because even God said, you know, it worked. It worked. And so God gives Martin the strength, God, to stand still and see the salvation of God. Hallelujah. Standing still doesn't mean we don't do anything. It means, like you said, like on the show, like doing what God tells you to do. Do what he's saying. And Jesus, sometimes we think about our works. You know, sometimes God has us work our work, but we work the work that he tells us to work. Other times it's about don't work anything, don't do anything, because we start thinking that it's because of all the things we do, you know, just trying to get God to move. Okay, God, see, I'm doing something. God says, I don't want to see you doing something. I want you to do what I tell you to do, right? Then we learn how to do that, and as we do, you know, he comes through, because we're not laboring to make God happy. You see him working. He says, don't work. Trust me. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to that. God, give her the courage to do it. It takes courage took courage for Joshua. The angel showed up to him, and the captain host of the army of the Lord came and gave him courage, you know, to do that. It was unusual to walk around some walls of Jericho. They could have killed him easily. But one thing about it, God's going to show you that the fear of the Lord goes before you, like the fear of God went before them, and they were afraid of them. Even at the walls of Jericho, they were afraid. They'd heard, oh, God is with them. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why sometimes we stand still. It's key. Because when God says something, then people are really going to be afraid to mess with us, right? When we let God do it, they really become fearful. Well, watch out. God's with them. That's what the rumors were in the walls of Jericho. It was like, well, we know God's with them. And that was the, yeah, so. Amen. All right, 843-561. Did I already, 843, did I already talk to you? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Yes, hi. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi. It's Sierra from South Carolina.
Oh, hi, Sierra. Okay, Sierra, I got you. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. All right, Sierra, God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for Sierra. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for God showing you, you know, how to eat. You know, those basic things that we eat the Word, like in our natural realm with food, when, you know, like every morning I wake up, I eat oats, which is one of the things that I do every day. And there's certain things I do. I eat nuts. I do certain things I have to feed my body. And so God's showing you how to feed yourself, Kira, that most of the time when we're down and out, having struggles and battles, and not winning the victory, it's because we're not strong. You know, we have to feed. I eat avocado every day. I have avocado every day because it feeds my brain, not because I eat it to enjoy it. I just eat it. I just get it in my mouth, squeeze it, and swallow it, basically. I don't really try to mix it all up, make it fancy. I just eat it because I know it's feeding my brain. Therefore, it's like medicine. And God's showing you how to feed your spirit. You know, whatever battle you're going through, He's going to show you what to feed yourself to win the victory. What scriptures do I feed myself? So, you know, like one thing, like I know avocado is really, really good for you, and when you feed it, it nurses your brain. When I don't have it, my brain hurts, literally. You know, if I forget something, oh my gosh, I got busy this morning, forgot to have my avocado. My brain's, you know, just not a headache or anything, but I don't explain it, but you can tell, you know, I know what it is. So that's the same thing in the spirit realm. So if I'm not eating my avocados and feeding my body, my brain right, then I don't think clearly. Especially the older you get, the more you have to make sure and feed your body what it needs, feed your brain what it needs, feed your muscles what they need every day. And when you do it every day, you know, you can function and live a long age. And same thing in the spirit realm. You learn how to eat what you need. God's showing you what to eat. People say, I can just eat anything. And from the Lord, Word of God, and get, no, God's going to show you what to eat. What foods do I need? Show me who I need to listen to. Show me what I need to hear to feed my brain so my brain can, you know, function with God. Feed my spirit. Feed my body. You know, because my body's the temple of God. What do I feed my body, Jesus? You know, God's going to show you how to feed yourself, spirit, soul, and body, Sierra. And you're going to find yourself not getting, like, when I feed my brain, my natural brain right, I don't get discouraged as easy, you know, because my natural brain is working. And the Holy Spirit's able to speak to my natural brain because my natural brain is alive, you know. And, like, it's easy to access information when your brain is functioning, your physical brain is functioning normally. And the Holy Spirit can can speak to you easier, not so difficult. So that's really, really important. Feed yourself. Physical, your body, your brain, all that, and your spirit and your soul, and feed yourself, you know, emotion. Feed yourself worship sometimes. Feeding yourself some worship. Sometimes I feed myself worship, and I mean, for some reason, sometimes I listen to a song, and that song will just unlock something in me, and I go eating with Jesus. It's just amazing. And drinking from the Lord, you know, like, wow. Some things unlock food and drink for me. So God's going to show you how to unlock the food to feed your body and to nurture yourself. Very, 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 very important. All right, 480-637. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. Really good to have you tonight. My brother Greg, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, God. You know, I just keep seeing this thing with your imagination and your ability to, you know, connect to higher thoughts. And, you know, higher thoughts are thoughts that are not, you know, quote, normal. You know, they're high thoughts, like exceeding abundantly above, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, you have an ability to do that. You have the faith for that. The thing that God wants to show you is how to bring that, you know, your ability to catch into that kind of thing and bring it into reality, bring it into everyday life where you see it in everyday life. Taking of God, how to partake of God, we have the God of the heavens with the God of the earth. That's why he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And God's showing you, you know, I think one maybe needs to be praying that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will, maybe you already do, in earth as it is in heaven. Because the whole thing about it is that you catch the heavenly thing, but bring it into the earth. That's what Moses did. God showed him the tabernacle of heaven, and he put it into the earth and literally put it, you know, exactly according to the pattern. That was a major move that God was doing. He took a heavenly tabernacle, which is in heaven, you can't see in the natural realm, and showed it to Moses, gave him the details of it, and he wrote it down and then put it into action. And God's showing you how to put things into action, how to get the heavenly thought and how to, you know, do it in the earth. By kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And praying that. And the reason that prayer is going to be a key to unlock that ability to take heavenly information and activate it into your life. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Your inheritance, your future wife, your future family, your finances, your wealth realm, all that. In Jesus' name, too. Because it's, your inheritance is in heaven. But we need to see it and activate it into the earth. Because what good is your inheritance in heaven? Right. I mean, it's good, but Christ came on the cross and came to earth and died, came from heaven, came to the earth and died to activate our earthly relationship with God, our earthly blessing, our earthly inheritance. And so our whole job on the earth is not to see how much heaven we can see, but it's how what we see in heaven to get it to the earth. That's the purpose for which we live, is to see in the heavenlies, know in our heart what God wants to do, and bring it into the earth realm. Amen. It's what Moses did, what Jesus did, you know. And, so that's like your purpose in life, is to, you know, how to activate through relationship with Jesus the blessings of your inheritance in the earth. And that's, as you know, we talk about all the time, it has to do with your wife, your children, your family, your provision. God has a land and property and house, money for everybody. Everybody. That's why he made the earth for that reason. All right, 940-224. Who am I talking to, Rick Crum, please? This is Michael. I think Michael texted earlier. Okay, Michael, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Michael and the dividing up of, you know, rightly dividing the truth, rightly dividing the word of God, you know, rightly dividing the word. Because if we don't rightly divide the word, then we mix things together that don't fit for us, and we try to apply this and apply that, and it doesn't apply because it's not really, they're rightly dividing the word of truth. And God's showing you how to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, see, fits in your life. What belongs to you, rightly dividing it. It's not only just a doctrinal thing, it is knowing what belongs to you and what belongs to somebody else. So God's showing you what belongs to you. Or being sober in your faith. Sobering faith is knowing what the faith that you have, tactically you have, what you need. And we all have been given the faith from God to activate what we need. And then as we activate that and learn how to walk in that, then he can add to our faith, if you will, and then add to our life. So God's showing you how to walk in sober-minded faith, to walk in what you have faith for and not what you don't have faith for. Because one of the enemy's greatest strategies for me has always been to try to get me activating things from God that's not from God. You know, it may be God for somebody else right now, maybe God for me later, but not God for me now. So we have to start with what God's given us and learn how to activate our faith in reality, because that's what causes it to come to pass, right? If we're sober-minded in our faith. This is a big problem with most of the body of Christ, I think. We all deal with this. We try to have faith for things that we don't have faith for, not yet, or at least we're not ready for that yet. It's there, but we start with what we have, what we're able to use. And so I think the Lord is showing Michael how to use what you've given him, Father, so that it can start manifesting. You know, it doesn't manifest when you're trying to walk in higher faith. That's, you know, if you got lower level faith is going to meet the needs that you have right now. And then you walk in that, then he's going to give you a little bit higher faith, a little bit higher rent. You start, you know, walking in that and learn how to walk in sober-minded faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that. Michael doesn't, the enemy doesn't get him to try to compare himself to other people, what they have, what they don't have. And you compare himself only to one thing, and that's what Jesus has for him. And that will cause his faith to be sober and walk in the things of God and be happy, because when you walk in the faith you've been given by God and activating that, it makes you happy because you start seeing results. You start seeing answers. You start seeing, but thank you, God, and setting the house in order, God, where you will be able to do that in Jesus' name, and start watching God bring things to pass in his life, because he's walking in the faith that is for right now. I mean, does that mean that we're not going to have the higher things you're believing for? No, you will. You have to start out, you know, at the foundational level, you know, and work your way up. 847-239, who am I talking to, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
All right, Stephanie. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the anointing, God, in her life, Jesus. I thank you for the anointing to show her how tangible the anointing is, to show Stephanie how tangible it is, how it really does, you know, create an environment that the enemy can't come in and invade. You know, the anointing really is tangible, really is real. Like when you put it over cloths, you know, over a cloth or something, it's tangible, it's really real, it's really physical. When it comes from the spiritual realm, it gets into the earthly realm. But God has to use people. Stephanie, he has to use you to take the spirit, the anointing that's invisible, and see it into the visible realm where it can be seen. And that's where healing, that's where miracles happen, that's where prayers are answered, that's where provision, money comes from. You know, when we need courage and strength to stand up, you know, for the enemy, it becomes tangible, it becomes literal, physical. So the anointing was made to, that's why in the tabernacle in the old, They God showed him, Moses, he gave him a certain ingredients to make the anointing oil. It had to be that, I think it was like 5 or 6 ingredients. He had to use that specific ingredient or it wouldn't work. So it's the same thing today. We learn how to, you know, activate that ingredient of the anointing where it literally becomes physical. So they literally carried around, you know, physical oil in there. They made it from myrrh and aloes and different things. And when they mixed it correctly and did what exactly the way Moses said, when God wanted it, then when the angels smelled it, when the God smelled it, it activated power. It activated, you know, protection and, you know, brought forth answers for that kind of thing. So God's showing you how to bring that oil into, you know, the physical natural realm, where it's manifest. It's called manifestations. And God wanted to show you the manifestation realm of things being manifested, probably, and instead of not manifesting, right? Yeah. So I think that Jesus, and your faith level of, you know, the same thing about your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence is it's the evidence of things not seen. And God's showing you about the evidence part of God's word and what that means. The evidence is when it's revealed to you, not when you read the Bible, but when it becomes engrafted to you as part of you. And then that's the manifestation of, and God's showing you the manifestation of it. When you see things manifest, the power of God.
you know, things going on, not just in the heavens, but in the earth. Hallelujah. Wow, that's good. Some very similar words in that. But yours, it's about the tangible anointing. That what I saw when I started praying over you was just go with the an anointing cloth, like we the Holy Apostle, you know, laid hands on cloths, and tangible physical anointing got transferred into that cloth, and people got delivered of demons and, you know, manifestations. Yeah, God trying to open you up to that because He wants you to walk in it more and more and more. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. All right, 720-819. You want to talk to you very quickly?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Kevin Yuki.
I know. All right. Just got to hear it. Got to hear that beautiful, those beautiful voices. Hallelujah. Singing in the choir. Singing in the choir, getting higher and higher, getting higher and higher off the choir of heaven. The choir of heaven. The choir of heaven. Wow. You know, everything can come around. I'm trying to say something right. Like the choir. You got to acquire the choir. Choirs of heaven. Yes, and you. I know. That's what I just said. Oh, okay. I didn't open up your text. Okay, so, oh, okay. Okay, Cham and Kyla, all right. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jesus, for gifting you. I think I kind of got going there with that. Thank you for, yes, hallelujah, for the choirs of heaven, for the choir of heaven. There's something about the music realm. I don't know if you guys were able to hear the night I talked about Lucifer and why. You know, he's a music guy in heaven, and why people love music, why people can relate to music probably more than anything. I don't know if you ever hear that message or not, you guys, but very powerful. God just showed it to me in the spirit, and I spoke it one night last week sometime about how that when God created the heavens and the earth and created male and female, Adam and Eve, and everything he created with the help of the musicians. And with the help of Lucifer, and gave Lucifer these extraordinary abilities to sing and make sounds. And so when he created the elephants, he made an elephant sound with music, you know. And then the elephant was made of music. So in the elephant's body was, you know, when his body was created and made and shaped and formed, it was made, you know, with music. The word that created it was the word with music, you know. And I never saw it before in my life. That was amazing to me. It was brand new. So I shared it on the show. So I don't know if you guys heard that or not. You might want to go back and see that. I don't know what night I did that, but come back and try to find it and listen to it. It was amazing. It's amazing because I never heard it before. It was mind-boggling. And, yeah, so open up that whole music realm for you guys. And, yeah, and understand the importance of that. Understand the amazement and why music is so powerful in the earth, because God created everything with the sounds of music, you know, with Lucifer. That's why he created Lucifer, was to make those sounds. And, you know, every musical instrument sound you can make, he can make it. And he God created that. When he said, let there be light, the light was made with music, you know, with Lucifer, you know, playing the organ of the light music, you know. I don't know what that would be like, but light music. And he would come out of his voice and would play it and sing it, and somehow, but what God was creating, it was all made, everything was made with music, through music and by music, and that's why people respond so much to music. One of the things that's really amazing. Yeah. All right, so Cham? I can't see that. I think this is Cham. Yeah, Cham, C-H-O-M. All right, I think that was like, oh. Chum, we thank you, Lord, for Chum. Thank you, Jesus, that you know, that Chum is, God's going to show Chum that, you know, this whole thing about God is with us. You know, that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And God's showing you, Chum, that God is
you know, God is everything God does, He wants to do with us. He doesn't do, He doesn't want us to do anything without us. He wants us to do it with Him and Him with us, because He's a He created the heavens and the earth, and He made man because He wanted to have fellowship with them. He wanted to enjoy them. God, people have gotten God, and the religious realm have gotten God so, you know, like, oh, you talk to God, you're crazy. You know, they don't understand. God created us, and Jesus died on the cross so we could know His voice, and yet say, yo, you hear from God, huh? You're kind of like a lunatic. They don't realize that's the way. In the very beginning, God made it, and they make it sound like some big deal. You know, like, oh, you hear from God, yeah. But it's going to be, God wants to show you how that's why He created us, was to fellowship with us and talk to us and help us and work with us. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Emmanuel, God with us. And Chum, God showing you that God's with you, God wanting to work with you. And you know, and that this is a thing he wants to do. It's not like He chooses somebody. He wants everybody to walk with Him. He wants everybody to know Him. And He's provided the way through Christ Jesus and shed His blood on the cross so that we can be cleansed in our blood realm and have blood sicknesses, diseases, issues and problems that our parents have had, to be free of those things. So we don't have to feel doomed that we have to be like that in those negative ways. Be like Him in the good ways and not in the negative things. And the blood of Jesus gave His blood so that we can have our blood clean, our DNA. And we could have, you know, the fact that the failures and mistakes of our parents would not be upon us. It's because Christ shed His blood, and His blood was perfect. Therefore, we receive His blood, and it cleanses us from imperfections in our blood, where we can think right, do right, not be addicted to things, but be free in Jesus' name. Yeah, I give you wisdom on how to do business things and walk in business room. In Jesus' name. All right. That God is very much in the business. God is very much into provision and money. God is into all that. He created it. He created the gold and the silver. He created all that. It's a part of our currency, part of the way, you know, they built the temple and built nice things. God made all that for us to enjoy it and to thank Him for it in the business room. All right, Kyla, thank you, Lord, for Kyla. God, I thank you, Lord, for the purpose of Kyla, God, to see that Kyla, the heart You've given Kyla to understand things, to have wisdom, to have the spirit of counsel, where she can understand how to help people work through things, how to think things out clearly, you can work a thing out, you can deal with the situation, make something that's complicated something simple, where you can come down and go, okay, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to do, that. And make it simple, make it easy, make it understandable. The spirit of counsel that's upon Kyla, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for opening her up to that. Tony, You've given her a heart to be able to help people, to be able to help people understand things, to see people be blessed, to see people, you know, have good things, and to see them happy. That Kyla is this real thing to bring happiness to people, to bring happiness. Even, you know, the Bible says faith, it's what pleases God. Without faith, you can't please God. And when you learn to walk in faith with God, from the Word of God, then you please Him. And when He pleases you, He's happy. And when God's happy, you're happy. You're going to find out that the best way to find out if you're pleasing God, if you're happy or not. I mean, really happy. And have joy. Because when God's happy in us and through us, then we're happy. And He shares with us His joy. Is joy unspeakable. The Spirit of God says, the Bible says, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God showing you that He's going to strengthen you and bring you through the things where you feel weak and vulnerable. He's going to strengthen you through His strength. Amen. Through His joy and peace and feeling satisfied and content. That, you know, you have something to offer. And it's valuable. And then I know where it came from God. Give Him the glory for it. All right. Okay. 951-966. I think I already... 951-966. Are you there? Hello? Who I talked to? Where are you from?
Hi. Hi, Prophet. This is Regina.
Hi, Regina. Well, your phone sounds great tonight. Usually there's background noise. That's awesome. I don't know if you got a new one or just maybe you had it off speakerphone. I'm not sure, but that was perfect. like, you know, sound, the sound, perfect sound, perfect. Yeah, there's something about the sound, something about the God, you know, taking you to a higher level, a higher grade, higher quality, you know, Puxa, pero, poca, paname, sobre todo, chingue de choco, choco, pa, 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 ella. And God's showing you what he created people for. You know, the prophetic realm, God's using in the prophetic realm to kind of understand what people are created for. Sometimes, and not necessarily you're going to be a doctor or nurse or prophet or whatever, but sometimes it's like, God's created you to be happy. He's created you to do good things. He's created, you know, you're saying, and I see God showing you how to, why he has created things, what they're for, their purpose. Like certain animals, what their purpose is, certain bugs, certain things, why God created things, to understand, you know, what that person, what that thing was created for, so you can, you know, use it and use it to its fullest value of what it's made for. Like it's like trying to take a washing machine and use it for something else, you know, like grandkids in it, turns on like, hey, isn't that fun? And they go like, Grandma, you're going too fast. Turn it off. Oh, it's like trying to use something for it. Like, so when you understand what something's made for, then you use it to its fullest potential. Then I see God doing it with you, showing you how to use things to the fullest potential. Like when God gives you a word, how to use that word to its fullest potential. In other words, get 100-fold out of it. When God has somebody in your life to get to help them get the fullest potential in their life out of them and bringing the full potential out of things, what they're made for, what God made it for, like even body parts. What's that body part for? Well, it's made for this. So when you understand what God's made for, then, you know, you want to make sure it's healthy. You want to make sure it's working because it does this particular thing with this particular, you know, for this, God created it for a reason. It's not just sitting there for nothing. It has a purpose. And God's showing you the purpose of things and the purpose of people, purpose of why he created, you know, certain things the way he did, to develop them, to use them to the full. Because when everything got created, when we're using it or watching it being used to its full potential, then we move to levels of God's prosperity and blessing in our life to where it's like, oh, my gosh, everything's functioning to its fullest value, to its fullest potential, where you're going like, oh, my gosh, look what's going on. You can't stop this thing because it's like everything's flowing to its fullest. My car, my brain, my house, my children, my business, my ministry, my calling, I'm functioning at, you know, 100%. So therefore, you know, the exceeding abundantly realm becomes very, you know, possible because just like our brains, we talk about, we only use 10% of our brain. Right. So God showed me how to unlock the full potential of the brain by the Holy Spirit and by communion and by other things. And so get the fullness out of everything. Get the fullness of every muscle in your body. Full use of your feet and your eyes and all that. And Jesus' name, kind of keep it healthy and whole. Yeah. All right. I never know why I say things, you know that, but there you go. Something like that. All right. 608-960. Who am I talking to you from?
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, Shannon, I thank God for opening up the business realm for you to give you something to, you know, focus on that you can be a success at and business things and just things that you can be a success at, the things that God has formed you and shaped you to be a success at and start being a success in the things that you can start. So things that we're not successful at are not as painful. They're not so like leaving a big void in your life because you're finding the things to be successful in that God's given you. You can take one thing God's given you to be successful in and be successful at it and get a lot of nurturing out of that, a lot of comfort, a lot of, you know, I have value. Why? Because value comes from doing what God has called us to do. You know, it's one area of success. I mean, you know, I have one area of success for me is the prophetic realm. Once I learned how to tap into that and work with God in it and learn how to talk to people and let God talk to me, you know, it became, you know, successful to a certain degree because you know, and I feel confident that when God used me to do that, that it's going to be a blessing for somebody, and that it satisfies me. It makes me feel like I have a value. You know, I'm doing something for God. God does something through me, and I feel loved. I feel, you know, I may not be a success in other things yet, but, you know, when you become a success in one area, sometimes that starts to, like, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of success causes the whole lump to be successful. You start, it starts moving from one area to another. You can become confident, you know, like to say, being around, you know, women, being around, you know, looking for a mate. You know, you start finding yourself more confident. Why? Because that area of success you're having is giving you confidence to do other things. So thank the Lord for seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And success of the righteousness is being the thing we're being successful in, and we're doing right. Then they become, you know, then you know, all those other things get added to it. Yeah, so a little bit of success in one little area can cause you to open up so God can nurse you and bless you in all areas. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Strengthen him, God. Empower him, God. Let him focus on, sometimes we focus on Jesus, on the things that, like Peter was walking in the water, he was successful. As long as he focused on Jesus, you know, he found himself like, man, I got faith for this. This is amazing. You know, and then he found out when he got his eyes off the Lord that he sank, but he was successful. He got out and go, man, I'm walking in the water today. Even though I sunk, I still walked in the water. That was amazing. And it kind of built his confidence up, you know, in other areas. You know, so especially in Jesus, because Jesus went there and rescued him. So he was less afraid to step out, right? Yeah, when we're less afraid to step out, you know, we become more successful in Christ. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the business world, all the different things, God. And then it's work. Hallelujah. Well, first of all, Jesus said, I'm successful in it because when the Father works, I work. Open that up, my brother, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, that's all the callers with their hand up tonight. If you don't have your hand up, I see 3, 4, 5 people don't have their hand up. If you don't raise your hand up, pretty quick, I'm going to call it a night. Minister to quite a few people, I think. 940-224. 940-224. Can I talk to you real
quick, please? Michael from Texas.
Okay, Michael, I already ministered to you, but you didn't answer a while ago, but I prayed for you anyway. So I'll pray for you again because I love praying for people, right? Good to have you, man. I think that word was about what was that about that I gave you? The Lord speaking to me about you. Oh, your faith. Walking in sober. The thing about walking in sober-minded faith isn't like, okay, I got to believe less. I got to believe in less stuff to be successful in what I'm doing. Walking in sober-minded faith is just walking what God's given you and not trying to do more, because trying to do more or less than what God wants, we end up being just messing up everything. So God's showing you how to walk in sober-minded faith. So you start getting some, like I told, like we were telling Shannon, to get some success under your belt. God wants you to be successful where you can start being success and have some success under your belt. So the best way to do that is to walk in the sober-minded faith, the faith God's given you, because faith always produces results, always. So if we're not getting results, then sometimes it's because we're focusing on things higher than our faith level. And so, not that we can't be there eventually, God can show you where you're going to go. But you don't start there. You start with being sober-minded in your faith, starting with at the level God has you at, so you can start seeing success. You can build upon success, here a little, there a little, you know, success that God has brought you, success because your faith has been, you know, balanced and sober-minded faith. And Paul the Apostle dealt with it. Because, you know why? Because people deal with it all the time. They try to do things more than what they're called to do at the time. And it could be down the road, but we're trying to do the things down the road now, and you can't do that. So Paul dealt with that. It's a big thing in the body of Christ to show you how to walk in sober-minded faith. Because once you start walking in sober-minded faith, then you start walking into that little bit of success, start that a little, and then it becomes, you get on a roll. And I see God doing it with you, getting you on the roll, where you start finding success getting your spirit man built up in courage. Amen. That's what it is. That's what success. That's why God told Joshua, meditate on the word day and night. You can be successful. Success is important. You know, we start out with one success, you know, had another success. Had a little failure, got it fixed, got success in that, moved on to the next one. Success after success after success. Extremely important in the process. One success can, like really boost you up and give you confidence for the future. That's kind of what your word about. I already mentioned to you earlier. You can also listen to that earlier. You're about six callers above this when I mentioned to you first. All right, my brother. All right, good. Everybody, I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight. I think that's it. If you fell asleep or something or got busy and you think I missed you, I went ahead and prayed over your number anyway, even if you didn't answer. So you can go back and check on the show. There it is. All right. I'm going to call it a night tonight, y'all. Thank you very much. God bless. Talk to you soon. Bye.